give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, 6:01 on this tough Wednesday night. I'm Devon Gibbons with you until 10 o'clock. We got a four-hour run, y'all. Let's do it. Let's discuss it. Not running away from it. It's here. It's what we need to discuss. We're with you until 10 o'clock. Tom Alvord is here. He'll have his input on things. The leftovers at 9:45 with Tom with some things that we may have missed. And let's get to it. Interesting here, Charles Barkley on with Mike towards the tail end of the show there. Charles being Charles. I disagree with Charles, but, you know, he said what he said. He stood up for what he believed in, you know, as he said. He could be wrong, but that's what he believes. And there are many people who believe the exact same thing. I disagree with that being a part of the narrative last night. They didn't play well. He didn't play well. That's what we need to talk about, not the MVP. And as far as the MVP goes with Joel Embiid, as I was just talking to Tyrone about with last night, him answering the question, he answered the question. He didn't bring it up himself. He answered the question. He didn't say next question or say, hey, Nikola Jokic, congratulations, and not say anything further. He said congratulations to Nikola Jokic, said the things that he needed to say, and moved on. All right, let's move on. So that's my two cents on the MVP part. But last night, folks, I guess I was wrong. I had them beating the Miami Heat last night. I thought they were in a really good spot coming off of the two games at home, evening the series up, the momentum seemingly in their corner because of the fact that they're taking those two games the way that they did it with Embiid back. He didn't play in the first two games in Miami. They were in a really good spot. So the energy, I have no answer for it. I have no idea how you could come out so flat in such a big game with so much on the line. If you heard me yesterday, and if you didn't hear me, I'll say it again. I looked at last night as a must-win situation because of those things that we just talked about, taking the 3-2 lead, coming back home on Thursday night, closing his team out without having to play a Game 7 on their floor in Miami. Now, you made it that much harder. It didn't need to be that way. First of all, you didn't come out there and compete for any of us to say, you know what, they just simply got beat. No, they beat you last night, but you gave them reasons for why it looked so bad last night on that floor. I mean, the fact that you can't throw an entry pass and figure out their zone as they're fronting him, and as soon as the ball is in the air and they incorporate the same type of defense that the Toronto Raptors did in round one, what's the problem in trying to figure that out? Now, I know I'm not on the floor and I'm not making that pass that we're talking about, but you've just dealt with that. You've dealt with pressure all series long. Why is this, again, a problem where you cannot throw an interior pass to your big man and go from there? Or here's another concept. If the ball is in your hand and you see them shading that way to go double team him, do something else. You have enough time on the shot clock to do something else and not force feed him where it's either a turnover on your part or a turnover on his part, because as soon as he catches the ball, they come from the weak side baseline. And as soon as he turns left, boom. They're right there, ball knocked out of his hands, or out of bounds in general, and it's going the other way. The fact that they just fell apart the way that they did was inexcusable. You should not do that as a team that is a contender. Teams lose games. They lose games all the time. We've seen it. We've seen it with the Sixers. Last night, that was just a poor overall effort by your basketball team in the biggest spot of the season. Now, they do have an opportunity to even it up again on Thursday at home in game number 6 and force that game 7. They could do it. I don't know how I feel right now. I think they can win that game coming back home and playing the way that you do at home, backs up against the wall. Sure, they can come home and win. But after seeing what we saw last night, it was very disappointing. So I want to hear from you, of course, your thoughts on things and what stood out to you. One of my problems to start off things, number one, again, and I talk about this all the time because I just don't understand it. I mean, their pressure is their pressure, and they do get in you, Miami. I get all of that. But not every player on that team is a defender. Not every team can put the pressure on you the way that they do and force you to make mistakes because you are really, really bothered by the pressure like they were last night. Once again, to turn the ball over the amount of times that they did in that game, I cannot explain it. And quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of sitting here talking about them turning the basketball over. And a lot of them, the unforced errors that they have out there, live ball turnovers that lead to opportunities the other way where Miami goes on the other end and gets points. What are they doing? I have no idea what they're doing when they think that being so loose with the basketball is going to be a positive thing for them. I just don't understand it. And for them to have 16 turnovers again last night. So in the last three games, games three, 19 turnovers. Game four, 17 turnovers. Game five, 16 turnovers. You got away with it on your home floor because you shot the ball well and Embiid was energized. You were energized by it. You had the crowd behind you in the game. So it turned into a thing that wasn't a problem in the moment, but we did not ignore it at game's end because you know eventually it's going to catch up to you. Well, it caught up to you again last night. 23 points off of the Sixers' 16 turnovers last night in the game. Miami coughed the ball up 11 times, and you only got 9 points off of their mistakes. So look at that. That's a plus 14 in the turnovers as far as the points go. A plus 14 as far as the points. And they shot better than you from the floor. And they shot better than you from the three-point line. And they had 3 more free throws than you did and 8 more tries because they were the aggressor last night on the floor. They were the aggressor. They seemed like they wanted it more. They backed it up. And they walked away with a convincing 35-point win where they knocked you out basically in the beginning of the third quarter. How can you have that? How can you have that? And I don't understand it. And again, said this last night after the game. I'll say it again. And we have 4 hours to do it. And I'm not really trying to go back and forth with anybody about it. But that wasn't Doc Rivers' fault last night. That was the players. You got to get up for a game like that. And the coach has you ready before the game, before a tip. You understand. You understand the moment, the circumstance, the time of what that game means to you and what it could do for you coming back on Thursday at home. And that's how you go out there and perform? Bad. Just bad, bad, bad. Now, let me get to the point guard, James Harden. You see things are going haywire. Things are not going well. And somebody has to calm things down. That's typically your point guard. Whether he's a scorer or not, your point guard calms things down. Well, in 37 minutes and 19 seconds, he had 4 turnovers again. Led the team in turnovers in 37 minutes, which was a team high, actually a game high, 37 minutes, and he coughed the ball up again. He is the one that's supposed to be the steady hand out there, keeping things under control. When he wants to direct and yell at people to be in the right places, which you love to see because he is your floor general, forget about the points. Get guys into their right spots. Get them where you are now manipulating the defense like you did in game number 4, where you had those 9 assists hitting Tobias Harris backdoor for a cut and a dunk. Same thing, breaking down the zone. All the attention comes towards you. Paul Reed, they forget about their defensive assignment. He's wide open under the basket. Nice bounce pass. Quick decision, dunk. Matisse Thybulle, same thing. Layup. Where was the steady hand from James Harden last night? And if we are to shift over to the scoring part of it now, 5 for 13, 2 for 6, we knew he wasn't going to make 6 threes on 10 attempts. But we also thought he might get to the free throw line because he's aggressive. He had two free throws on 3 attempts last night. One, I think the one miss might have been a technical on Miami, and he missed the free throw. He played poorly last night. The shot selection. Here we go again with the threes that are just bad looking threes. When he was acquired and we saw that things may not be going the right way with the hamstring, then the calf, his shot looks flat. It's more of a line drive than has arc on underneath it, right, where it can actually go into the basket. I said at least, hey, how about he work a little bit more inside, get to a spot that he wants right around 17, 19 feet, and knock down a mid-range jumper. take what the defense has given you, and then shade back to the three-point line because your legs, you have them underneath, you feel a little more comfortable, and now you start to drop that maybe once or twice during the game just because you're in a good flow. You're in a good rhythm, and then it knocks down from there. No, here we go again. Driving to the basket. Thinks he got fouled. He's out of bounds as he's complaining about him being fouled with his arms spread out as if he's in a defensive stance against the official. Meanwhile, the other way, they're on a 3-on-2 fast break, and no longer do you go to the basket like that to make a layup. So you're spread out, and now all of a sudden you get an easy basket on the other end because he's not giving enough, again, effort and getting back on defense. Most of his effort went into the shot, went into try to draw the foul, and then went into complaining to the official that he did not call the foul on him when he drove to the basket. You needed your point guard to be the other person to calm things down, to steady the waters for the Sixers last night against the Miami Heat. He did a very poor job of that last night. We praised him for what he did in game number 4. No one expected him to come back with another 31-point performance to back it up. We just said give you another good James Harden performance where the team is in the game, and if need be, other things that high-level players do in the moment that calls for that high-level player, that former MVP, the scoring champ person, to know what the situation is, time and situation, and figure things out to calm things down for his basketball team as they were turning the ball over 4 times in the first quarter, leading to 8 points. He had 2 of those. Okay? All right, that's him. Danny Green, I don't have much because we knew as a role player, while he can make shots, I think when Tom Alvord and I were talking about it with Tyler Zuli yesterday, I said he'll make 2 threes. He won't make 7. He won't make 5. He'll give you 2 threes, but it'll be a good 2 threes because the team will play better, and that's enough for them to win. Well, here's what he also did. He made 2 of 4. Okay, great. He can't put the ball on the floor. We've known this for all season, last season. And when he puts the ball on the floor, that's almost a guaranteed turnover. He had 3 turnovers last night, 2 of them in the first quarter. He can't put the ball on the floor. I understand. Ball fake, put the ball down. How about you just pull up? Don't go anywhere else. Where are you going? You know you can't put the ball on the floor anymore. Stop putting the ball on the floor. Pass the ball immediately. Maybe you get it back when the defense retreats. It's a quick 2-man game, fast, boom, touch pass right back to you. Maybe you get a layup or a good shot with the floater. But a turnover doesn't help you, especially with you when it's a live ball turnover. One of them, he left his feet trying to throw it to Embiid where there's already a crowd in the middle of the floor. What are you doing? What are you doing? So I'll just leave that there. Tobias Harris, this was arguably his worst game of the playoffs. I still think he's been the most consistent. Last night, it caught up to him. He got caught up in the rest of everything else with the team. He didn't play well. He had a decent start where he did what he did with the 8 points in the first quarter, played basically all 12 minutes, 1 rebound, and 2 for 2 from beyond. He was the one in the first quarter that was playing. James Harden had 7, so you give him that as well, even though he had the 2 turnovers. He also did not have a good second half. Second quarter to the end, when they all came out in the third quarter, he did not have a good game, Tobias Harris. He needed to be better. He wasn't. Defensively, I don't know, maybe it just caught up to him because Jimmy Butler has been playing so well with his 23 last night. It wasn't 40, it wasn't 33, but his 23 was very effective with 9 boards and 6 assists, 2 for 4 from 3 and 9 for 15 from the floor. Once again, he has been the best player in the series all semifinals long. He has. But Tobias Harris, he fell off last night. All right, we'll see what happens there. Maxey, 2 for 10, 9 points. One of the guys that I definitely count on and say he's not afraid. I can't say that it was anybody else because as it all went, everyone stunk last night. He has to be better. You're on the road. Got to play better. I've seen you do it against the Toronto Raptors in that closing game 6 where he played really well, hit the 5 threes, all of that. Not asking you to hit all 4 of your threes, but I'm asking you to play better than the 2 for 10 for the 9 points, 3 rebounds, and 1 assist with your 2 turnovers in 31 minutes of play last night for the Tyrese Maxey fan club, right? The guy has to play better. simply has to play better. And as much as I take up for Joel Embiid, and I'm sure I will, and maybe some of these phone calls, if people went a little bit too, go a little bit too far, in my opinion, I can't tell you you're wrong just because it's your opinion. I can just say I disagree with you. But his energy level, I do agree with Charles Barkley on that. He didn't have energy. He didn't give a lot of effort. I don't know if it was because of the injury. I certainly don't think it was because of the MVP thing, because he knew about this a week, 2 weeks ago, that he wasn't winning the MVP award. So that has nothing to do with it. Like Charles said with Mike, well, he played well in games 3 and 4. Well, he already knew he wasn't winning the MVP in games 3 and 4. So unless he's worried about the public now knowing and going out there and play a poor game last night, that had nothing to do with it. He also stunk last night, and the MVP thing had nothing to do with it. Maybe I wish he would have used that a little bit, because it was something that came out and it was public. I wish he would have went out there and gave you 24 or 27 and dominated as best as he could. Maybe when he got hit in the face with the basketball and his orbital fracture is really bothering him, when you get a ball smashed in your face, the basketball smashed in your face like that from another big individual in Dwayne Dedmon, who's a very strong person and swinging at the ball and it goes right back into your face. Well, okay, he's probably a little banged up. Now he popped back up. He got back at it. Some of that stuff wears off and you go out there and play. He played poorly last night. He was not good. He needs to be better. And as the leader who has matured over the years now, he has to set the tone much better for his basketball team to go out there in a big spot like that. You can't look at it and say, all right, we just don't have it. We'll be back at home on Thursday. There are no guarantees. You don't know what's going to happen on Thursday. They can shoot the ball so much better on the road in game 4 and game 6, pardon me, with no pressure on them now to close this thing out. He's the leader. He has to be better if he's out there. I understand the face, the hand, all those things. We talk about it and we use that to kind of praise him for continuing to play. I do. But if you're out there, you're out there. You got to play. You got to play through this stuff. But they have to figure out how to play better in tougher spots. Their back is against the wall now. Pressure is on them to extend this series, especially at home, where they play much better, where they won the last two games against this team, and they simply have stuff to go off of from games 3 and 4 to use in this game to come back and even this thing up and force a game 7. Everything that took place last night, except for just pointing out, hey, we did not play better well last night, we need to have give better effort and all that stuff, that's the only thing you take away from that game. Everything else, that's it, is left in Miami. And you hope when you go back to Miami, if you go back to Miami, you don't duplicate what you put on the floor on Tuesday night with that terrible, terrible performance, 120-85 loss to the Miami Heat. I need more, again, from James Harden. It's not, they're not always going to come in the bunches of the points. I needed him to be, if Embiid didn't have it as a leader, I needed James Harden to be the leader, to be the point guard, to calm things down, to run the offense the way it needed to be run. If things started to break down, the counter is this, coming from the point guard, this is what we're going to do. Not forcing a pass, turn it over, throwing it too high, throwing it out of bounds, throwing it too low, throwing it when the other help is coming from the weak side or the baseline, blindside Embiid. He can't see it coming, and he gets the ball picked off. He needs to be better. The bench, all I asked for them last night was simply give me a good minutes. The only one I thought gave good minutes last night was Paul Reed. That's it. The only one. We can say everything we want about him not knowing the game, not understanding all the plays, getting in too much foul trouble when he is out there. He had 2 personal fouls last night in 15-plus minutes of play. He was we know he gives effort. Sometimes he looks out of control, scattered, doesn't know where he's going. But he always gives effort. Nothing changed last night. He gave effort. I even like when Doc Rivers said, because we talked about this in the Toronto series, hey, are we going to see Paul Reed with Joel Embiid for a couple of minutes because of the length on the Toronto side and slow them down a little bit with Siakam and Boucher and Atua and Scotty Barnes, OG Anunoby. Are you going to throw that guy in there because he is athletic and he can move and he's going to pick up fouls? But that's okay. He only plays 12 minutes at max anyway. I like that Doc Rivers tried it a little bit last night. Maybe that's something that they can look at in game six, where they're actually still in the game and they see a lineup in which they can use that. And that could also be something that he takes. That's one thing that he can take away from this game, the few minutes that they were out there together, maybe putting them out there on the floor at the same time. All right, I'll give out the numbers. I went at it. I have a lot to say. I was mad last night. I was still angry today because you just don't go out there with a situation like that, the spot that you are in, and play that poorly. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. And the heart that you want to see from them, the leadership that you want to see, say what you want about Jimmy Butler and the blow-up that he had a couple of weeks ago in Miami on the bench with Spoelstra and him and Haslam getting into it, all that stuff. The one thing I do know is, man, he's got that dog in him. Where is it in this Philadelphia team? He was here. We're not going to rehash that. You know how I feel about that. I wanted him back with J.J. Redick at the time. Tobias Harris moves on. That's the type of heart and fight I want to see in a player. And they didn't have that last night. They did not have it last night. Even in a game where they lost, like they did. He had 40 in that game in game four because he tried to will them to a victory. Where was it last night for this team, the home team? I didn't see enough of it. Disappointed in their performance. And with all that said, they can still win the game tomorrow when they return home for game number six. Will they? I don't know. I felt very confident last night for game number five. I was flat out wrong. They made me look bad. I didn't dribble. I didn't shoot. I didn't turn the ball over. I didn't give a good assist. I didn't rebound. I didn't give a pep talk, but I was confident that they would go in Miami and win that game last night, and that's on me. But that's because it's on them that they made me look bad. But more importantly, they made themselves look bad, and now we doubt if they can even win the game tomorrow. But hey, there's an opportunity. The ball has to go up in the air for tip-off. They have to play 48 minutes and give themselves an opportunity. Bad performance last night, awful performance last night. I need to see better in game number six to make up for that crap that we saw last night in Miami. All right, 610-632-0975. We're going to have some conversation with this. We'll dive around the NBA, the NFL, with a few other things as well. And we'll also have a side topic tonight to kind of lighten the mood a bit. Something that we think we'll have a lot of fun with on the other side when we introduce that as well. Tom Alvord is here. He'll have the leftovers at 9:45. We'll get his thoughts on the game in general. We'll give out the numbers to you one more time. 610-632-0975. Folks, I don't know why they came out like that so flat and lethargic. Don't know why. Cannot happen again. Or James Harden will be sitting to my left doing the show with me for the summer. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens until 10. This is 97.5, The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's do this. 632-97.5, The Fanatic, Devon Givens. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. 610-632-0975. I mean, am I asking too much for James Harden specifically to pull up and knock down a jump shot from mid-range? Like I've been asking for weeks. To just do that,
I would say no.
The defense gives you that. You pull up and you knock the shot down, and all of a sudden they got to play you on that too. Especially when they think you're going to drive all the time, because when you get by them, you go to the rim instead of taking the step back, but stepping back to 17, 19 and shoot it. I don't know. I don't think I'm asking too much for something like that. But, hey, that's what it is. That's where we are. 610-632-0975. Let's take your phone calls. We'll get Tom's thoughts on this and see where they are. They can win tomorrow. They can. They'll be home. Maybe they'll have the home court advantage again. I know they stressed the turnovers. Why are you still turning the ball over at the high rate that you are? What is the problem? Is the defense that tough where you got to turn the ball over that much? Three games, folks. Think about that. The last three games. All series, really, because, look, game two is the only one that they didn't turn the ball over at a really high rate. They turned it over 10 times. But just specifically the last three games, once again, 19, then they had 17, then they had 16. 52 turnovers in three games. 52. They've turned the ball over an average of 17 times a game over the last three games. What do you think is going to happen? When you should have blown them out like you did in game three, they got lucky. They didn't shoot the ball well. You win that one 99-79. But you should have been blowing them out in game four. They came back. Miami incorporated that defense that they were using last night at the end of the game four. You're turning the ball over. You don't know what's happening. James Harden has to save the day, of course, with the 16-point outburst that he had in the final quarter. Why is it so difficult to protect the basketball? Why? My gosh, man. All right, they have another opportunity. Just can't believe that, man. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll give out the side topic as well. Have a little fun on this day. Talk about some fun things. Because, I mean, seriously. So frustrating. Let's start things off. Sheen and Winfield starting things off, tipping us off on this Wednesday night on 97.5. What's up, Sheen?
Yo, Devon.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
I just don't understand how you turn the ball over so much.
It's frustrating. And one of the things that I noticed that's probably more frustrating than anything, I hate when James Harden is meeting like Tyrese Maxey or Tobias Harris at half court when they're bringing the ball up. Because the only thing you're doing, too many times yesterday, it was 8, 7, 6 seconds in the shot clock. James Harden has a ball. Now he got to, you know, do the paddle between the legs and take a bad shot, or it's a bad turnover. Too many times, he's not even in position for, you know, to set himself up for a jump shot. It's like, the space on the floor is terrible. Him wanting the ball in his hands constantly is for times when he's not making shots, he's not productive because he's a liability on defense. It seemed like everybody was searching for James Harden, even P.J. Tucker. I seen what a good 7 points, 7 of the 10 points was on James Harden that P.J. Tucker had. And then, you know, I can't get too much on Embiid. We were down 0-2. You brought us back 2-2. The least, and you know, James Harden, Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey, somebody needs to step up. And I really can't blame, you know, Tyrese Maxey too much because, man, James Harden is so ball dominant.
And I don't disagree with that part, but, you know, at some point somewhere, hey, guys, I know we're running everything that we're supposed to run, but we're not working and it's not going the way that we want. I'm just going to take a couple of shots. Doc, we can argue about this later. Teammates, we can argue about this later. I'm trying to put points on the board. I don't know what the heck you guys are doing.
No, absolutely. But I think, you know, he's still a little bit reserved, you know, being, you know, a second year player.
Yeah.
And when you have Embiid, who just was snubbed from the MVP race, you know, I think the whole how the game started from the beginning to the end was terrible. Like, you know,
awful.
I mean, man, nobody stepped up. I'm blaming the players more than I'm blaming Doc Rivers.
So am I.
Doc can only do but so much. When it's a game five, and this is a game that you had to win, somebody has to win on the road to win the series, and nobody stepped up. James Harden, he was non-existent. You didn't pick people in a position to step up. Or get to this spot. Too many times it was like freelance. It was like no offense was being ran. Shake Miller had to come in the game and be aggressive. Man, he had 8 shots. Joel Embiid had 13. James Harden took 12 shots. How is Shake Milton almost close to your two top guys? That's supposed to never happen. And if anybody, if anybody on the call and beat up on Tyrese and Tobias Harris, I'm going to be here to defend them, because too many times they're the last option going down a shot clock, and you're putting them in terrible situations, or they're not getting any looks until the second or the third quarter. James Harden, you know, yes, Joel Embiid needs to set the tone, but come on, James Harden, you're supposed to be.
That's what I said, man. You're the floor general. You're the guy out there. You're the guy out there. Calm things down. Hey, guys, we got this. Don't worry about it. We've been here before. Let's do this. And they didn't do it, man. Didn't do it. So.
It's crazy because Doc Rivers is on the sideline. Like I said before, he can't do but so much, and nobody else is doing it. Joel Embiid got hit in his face, and I'm pretty sure he was thinking about that. I got hit in my face with a basketball without having a fractured face. So it takes you a while to get through that. That man has a fractured face. I'm lost on James Harden's whole temperament in the game.
Yeah, he was the one more for me, and I know a lot of people Hey, Sheen, how do you feel tomorrow? I'm not on before the game tomorrow, so I'm also talking to people about how you feel tomorrow. Anthony will be on with Cousins Corners, and then I'll have the pregame show for the Sixers. So how you feeling tomorrow, right now, about the game?
Listen, man, we lost Game 7 last year. I think Joel Embiid and the whole team and the whole organization, seeing how, basically the fan base was ready, the damn near switch teams, they can't lose this Game 6. Like we lost Game 7 to the Hawks in a series that people had us winning by, 5-1, gentleman sweep. If you lose Game 6, then you have to start. Then the pressure is going to be on the organization, because I don't know how Joel Embiid is going to feel about that situation. Like, you traded Ben Simmons. Now I'm here in the same position with James Harden.
We'll get there. We'll have plenty of that in the offseason. We'll have plenty of time for that part. But I hear your overall thing of what it is and how important tomorrow's game is to extend the series and try to win it. All right, Sheen, thanks, man. We'll talk Friday after Game 6 and see how you feel about what the result ultimately is for Game 6 on Thursday night back here in Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. Everybody's to blame. Even if you want to have an order, Maxey and Harris do get some blame because they were part of the poor performance while the starters were out there. The starters have to give a lot because the bench is so poor. That's why when I ask for bench good minutes, I'm not asking for points, because I don't know what I'm going to get on any given night. It's not like I have Lou Williams, Sixth Man of the Year, where Lou Williams can come off the bench and just do Lou Williams things, and I can say, Lou might be able to just give me 25 tonight instead of 16 or 13. Lou might drop 25 where he's playing 30-plus minutes because he's that good. Jamal Crawford, you don't have that. Shake Milton, as Sheen said, he's got to come off the bench and squeeze eight shots in his time on the floor. And some of that was reserve minutes, because Shake played 19 minutes and 37 seconds. He was 2 for 8. He had the 1-3 early that you're like, okay, something's coming off the bench there. George Niang's 0 for 6 again. He looked okay, gave you really good minutes with 21-plus minutes in game 4. And now he 16-plus. And he doesn't know how to play again. Or he doesn't know how to shoot again, make a shot again. Man. Shake Milton, 19 minutes, 37 seconds. Matisse Thybul, again, following up a decent performance in game 4, comes back, basically gives you nothing. He was 1 for 2, made a 3 again. That's the second consecutive game where he's made a 3. 10 minutes and 49 seconds. He can't be on the floor sometimes because he's not playable. They're incorporating we'll just leave him open. If he makes a shot, all right, great. You see, it didn't hurt them. All right, great. It's just like that Milwaukee thing where Giannis was on him and he's playing free safety. Man, the Miami Heat defense, they are shading so off of that weak side player. Whether it is Danny Green, Matisse Thybul, George Niang, they are shading off to help out and make sure Embiid doesn't do anything against that zone that they are putting out there. And how can we not? How can I didn't say this last night because I knew I would say it on the morning show this morning when I joined them at 7:30. In a zone, we've all played basketball and they taught you certain things about the zone. At some point, someone has to flash to the free throw line, somewhere around the nail, and catch the basketball, turn possibly a high post pass to Embiid where it's a better angle over the top. He can catch it, keep the ball high, stay high, lay up, all good, 2 points or foul. He's going to the free throw line. Last night, he got to the free throw line 3 times, making all three. I only remember, and maybe because I wasn't paying attention to it the entire time because they were doing foolish things against the zone, Danny Green was the one player that I saw flash to the middle of the zone at the foul line and try to get a pass. They didn't pass it to him. Now, I don't love him being the guy that's the basically your outlet for the middle of the floor to receive that pass because I don't like his touch on his passes. And he might put the ball on the floor and do something foolish instead of shooting the basketball. And if he does, he's going to shoot it too quickly. It's going to be a brick. He's not going to make it. I like Tobias Harris to be there because he has more length, more size, and I trust his passing ability if he does catch the ball. Maxey a little bit, but he's smaller. But still, the way the zone is, there's an open opportunity there to take advantage of that space there in the middle to do something if the ball gets there. And NBA players, they're athletic, they're the best in the world, they're long, they're lengthy, they can bat the passes away, it won't be an easy pass, I know that. But I thought, when I did see Danny Green flash to the foul line, that they could bounce pass, quick. You know he's going there, have that basketball meet him on the catch as he is coming to from that other side to the free throw line, catch, turn, make a decision. If Danny Green screws it up, we're blaming Danny Green. You made the right pass of getting that ball in the middle of the floor, beating that zone. Because the shooters weren't beating the zone. You didn't have any zone busters making shots, so you have to find another way to do it. The other thing that I saw them do last night where I thought Miami should have done a little bit more in game 3 and 4, and I talked about it pregame yesterday, was start to pick James Harden up again full court. Deny him the basketball. Make them get into their actions late, and then all of a sudden, they're starting their play. They're starting their possession with 12 seconds on the shot clock, and now they have to speed it up. Miami's going to do that and speed them up. Well, they did that. They did that a little bit more with James Harden. Again, could not get the basketball. They made quick decisions. Tyrese Maxey bring the ball up, but they just could not do things the right way in the half court set. And then defensively, how in the world did Max Strus look so comfortable? He looked like he was Dwayne Wade putting the ball on the floor. He made a couple of threes. They have to close out on him because he's coming off picks. He's squaring up and firing it off, making them 11 points in the first quarter. Then he had the one where he was driving the basketball, got the ball inside the inside the half court line. And he didn't have to make a basketball move like an in and out or a little mini crossover to from right to left to get into the lane. He basically had a beeline right to the basket for an uncontested layup. That's what I'm like, oh man, they go on this, 8-0 run, then it's a 10-0 run, then Strus hits a three when Doc should have called a timeout when it was 15-10 after Jimmy Butler got that fast break dunk off of the steal. Should have called the timeout there. That's the one thing that I said that Doc did not do last night. Should have called a timeout, stopped the bleeding right there because it was 10-9. They went on a 5-0 run, but you could feel it happening. Call a timeout now. Don't let it get to 7. Don't let it get to 8. Then Max Strus knocks down that 3. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens until 10 with you. Running until then here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ramid in Philly joins us next. What's up, Mid?
Devon, what's going on, man? How you doing? Great show, as always.
Thank you, man.
That was a deflating loss yesterday.
Oh,
man.
Oh.
And I agree with what Barkley said. Like, that I would kind of blame mostly Embiid and Harden because they didn't have great energy last night. When you're on the road, your star players have to have great energy because the role players are going to, like, play up to the energy that they had. Like, I don't know whether it was the because he got hit in the face with the ball or not. But it, even before that, he didn't come out with like great energy. We don't have like players that are doing that lift the team up when we're not doing well. It's like they're front runners. Like when everything is going good, everybody's in a good mood. But when nobody is the player. Like, you know how when Boston is not doing well, Marcus Smart is like he in everybody's face. He pumping everybody up. We need something like that on the team. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, that's why I brought it up and said Jimmy Butler, that type of energy. That type of dog that you have in the team. That's what you want on the team. They don't have that. No one does that. No one can do that on the team. Maybe James Harden, but I don't even look at him like that type of player. He has that type of aura about him because he's been such a great scorer for so many years in the league, but not that dude that's just going to, again, dig in and go out there and win under any circumstances.
Yeah, like I think that's really a big piece out of what's missing. Because even I don't think the coach is even that type of person.
No, I don't think so either. I agree with you there. No, I agree.
And I think when somebody said, if anybody gets on Tobias, they're going to be upset. I got to get on Tobias about one thing. He pulled the Cam Newton last night. When that rebound was coming towards him, he was backpedaling like he was on defense already.
I did see that. Is that when there were three Sixers there, but he was the one that was backing off and Gabe Vincent got the rebound, offensive rebound?
Yeah. I didn't understand that play at all.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
For game six, I think we're going to win that game. We got to win that game. I don't think we're going to win game seven now because I just feel like our role players play trash. George, I don't even think George Niang has made a shot in Miami this whole series yet.
He was 0 for, was he 0 for 7 in game 2?
Right, yeah.
And 0 for 6 last night. He might have been like 1 for something in game 1.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do going forward, but this is not a good look.
It's not a good look, man. You hate these types of games. Hate them.
Especially in the playoffs. Like, I feel like nobody should have to pump you up.
This is a February, like, March loss, and you're like, all right, I'm mad.
Yeah, like
but
a schedule loss.
Yeah, right, yeah. Not game five after you just won two games in a row.
Yeah, I don't like the effort they had out last night.
Terrible effort. Man, thanks, man. We'll talk. Hopefully we're talking again on Friday about tying the series up and forcing a game number 7 in Miami on Sunday night. 610-632-0975. I can't stand these. We got to have a little fun, too. Diana's with us. Alex, Eric, Brian. We had a full board, and we just had someone drop off. 610-632-0975. We opened those phone lines if you've been trying to get in. They're full. We had a couple of people drop off. So we'll take your phone call, 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll get to Diane first. Alex, Eric, Brian, and you, and we will talk about, again, something that I think we've all had this, and now it's going to be gone. But when was the last time you actually used it? And we'll give our side topic of what we're going to talk about to have a little fun to kind of lighten the mood a little bit on this Wednesday night. Sixers game 6 tomorrow, 7 o'clock start time. Pre-game coverage begins at 6:50. Tom McGinnis will be on the call, so we'll have you covered. Cousins Corner will be tomorrow at 6, leading you into the pregame coverage, which I will have at 6:50. So we have no pregame tomorrow. We're basically doing all of that tonight with the pregame, getting this off our chest from last night and getting ready for tomorrow. So we have to do it all. 610-632-0975. And the Phillies won. So if you want to call in, talk about the Phils, let's do it. Talk about the Phils. Let's get it done. They win 4-2 over the Mariners. We'll get that in as well right here, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
7 o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. Welcome back. 610-632-0975. Devon Gibbons with you. Breaking down things from last night. Looking ahead to game number 6 back here in Philadelphia. Sixers fall by 35 on Tuesday night in Miami. 120-85. A 3-2 series lead now for the Miami Heat. Sixers had a great opportunity last night to take the series lead, have it in their hands, and come back to Philadelphia with a chance to close it out on Thursday night. But instead, they get rocked. Rocked. No effort. Awful. Awful performance in a playoff with everything, the momentum in your favor, even though you were on the road. So we're talking about that. 610-632-0975. I want to bring those back with you and get your thoughts on the game tomorrow as well, because I will not be with you before the game. So we got to jump ahead a little bit. And also, before we get to Diane, who's starting us off for this 7 o'clock hour, Tom Alvord is producing as well. Something is happening where Apple, who we know is a giant, right? The company, Apple, you either have a MacBook or an iPhone or whatever, right? iPad. You have something Apple-related. And I something. And now here we are where Apple, one of the better things that they've invented over the years, is coming to an end. Apparently, the end of an era for the Apple iPod. Right? No need for it anymore, because the music, you can get it on your phone. It's on your iPad. It's on your laptop. It's everywhere, and you don't need that anymore. I'd imagine the sales are down on all that stuff. So they are discontinuing, after 20 years, the iPod. Now, my daughters, 3 daughters, older. So they've had for a good part, they've had about 4 different versions of the iPods, whether because they lost the other one or they just needed more storage for the next one. Then I would take the leftover and use the other one, you know what I'm saying? Because it's still working, it's not going to waste. Or the younger one would take the scraps from the other one that's in front of them, age-wise, and then eventually their phones have everything that they need, so they no longer need the iPod. So, Tom Alvord and I decided to, first I'll ask everybody about the iPod. Do you still have one? Do you still use one? Do you use your phone? Do you use the iPod for something separate because it's easier? My favorite always was the little one that could clip on, because you could clip that like on your shirt or in your pocket, and it was just on your belt buckle. Nobody saw it. It was just easy. That was my favorite one, and it held enough for me where I can listen to stuff. I wasn't like my daughters where I had so much stuff, and quite frankly, mine would be a lot of podcasts and mixed with some music. But Tom and I decided for our fun conversation tonight, as we mix up some of this stuff here, something that became outdated, like now, the iPod, that you wish were still around and you loved it at that time. So, Tom Alvord, good evening. I know we have Diane and Alex and Eric and Junior and Brian and everybody. So we want to ask you all, while you're on hold, think about it for a second. Again, something that became outdated that you wish was still around and you personally loved it. Tom, good evening. I'll start with you.
Yes. Well, first of all, RIP to the iPod. I mean, that was an absolute game changer. That you literally had, that was like, got me through middle school, got me through high school. Wow. Going on and, you know, downloading the songs, sometimes not legally, sometimes legally, depending on, you know, what how I was feeling and how
That's
old
okay.
I was.
Okay, we all did it.
Yes. Yes. But now, just an all-time invention. And obviously, it has to come to an end. Like, no one has iPods anymore. It makes sense. Everything's on your phone. Everything's, yeah. So, but great run by them. When it comes to something, I guess, that I wish was still around and I wish was still, like, you know, usable, I guess, I would go with Blockbuster. The great, that is the absolute, the OG Blockbuster, man. I used to love Friday nights. Getting done school, going into Blockbuster, checking out all the movies, just looking at the, you know, all the candy and stuff, the $5 popcorn that was way overpriced, yep. Asking the whatever clerk was there, whatever, you know, 16-year-old stone kid was there to help me out and look, pick what movie was going to be the best in between these two movies. Obviously, there's no reason for Blockbuster anymore. We have everything on our phones. Yeah. Everything streamed on our televisions. But, man, I miss those days of Blockbuster.
Blockbuster was great. I'm from the area around here, City Avenue. So, City Line, even though it's City Avenue, we call it City Line. There is no City Avenue except for on the sign. That's it. So as you say that, we had Blockbuster on City Line. My parents, we would go there. They would let us choose movies. My siblings, they would let us choose movies. My dad and I, we had similar tastes because he was a clown. So a lot of times I would like the stuff that my dad, my step-pop would go with. And also let us choose movies as well. We would find some weird ones, some stupid ones and all that stuff. So Blockbuster was great. And as you say that, I get one from someone close to me, and they hit me up on the text board, and they say West Coast Videos. And are you familiar with West Coast Videos?
I am not.
West Coast Videos, so Blockbuster was blue and yellow, right?
Yes.
West Coast Videos was red and black and white, I think it was. And that was also same thing.
Was it just one store or was it a chain?
It was a chain.
It was a chain, okay.
It was a chain, yeah. And West Coast Videos was also like Blockbuster. And I think we frequent that one more than we did Blockbuster. But if Blockbuster didn't have it, let's say we made our mind up. All right, we want to go get Eddie Murphy Raw. Even though I wasn't allowed to watch that stuff, my uncle, who was 6 years older than me, my dad's brother, he didn't care. He'll take the heat. You can watch this. Let's go get, if it wasn't at Blockbuster, we're going to West Coast. Or if we're not going to West Coast, all right, we'll go to Blockbuster.
We all have those aunt or uncles that just
100%,
don't care.
That's
so
my
shout
guy.
Out to them. Shout
that's,
out to
that's
them.
That's my guy. He's no longer with us. I love him. That's my man, my Uncle Charlie. So West Coast Videos was also on City Line, but that was the first choice. And then we would go to Blockbuster.
Then it was Blockbuster.
On City Line. But let me get mine and we'll get to everybody else. 610-632-0975. I have a couple of them, but one we already talked about like 2 weeks ago on Friday. If you were listening that night, you kind of understand what I'm talking about with that one. But I'll go with this one. I'm not a big video game player anymore, but have one in the house. But so often you have to obviously go buy the next one and the next one. And you still had to do it in the back and when I was playing at the time, too. So if I want to go and I want to get NBA Live, when NBA Live was it before it became 2K and all that. All right, you get 95, you get 96, you get 97, all that stuff. But I can just go get it, drop it into my PlayStation, and play. Now, and my kids and I, we don't play as much anymore. But now, you got to download stuff. You got to do this other thing. You have to do the other thing with the other thing to make sure the thing there before that one works. And now I don't even know what I'm doing. I can't even just go. All right, you know what? Hey, my brother's name is Mike. Mike, let's load this game up and let's get at it. I can't do that anymore. Right? You got to do all this stuff. And the one thing that was cool that made it really cool was when I wanted to play a video game with my cousin Sean or my cousin or my best friend Dana. And we had to call each other, yo, load the game up. We're going to start it at the same time. And let's just, right, kind of act like you're playing against each other. Now you get, which I do think is cool. Now you got the headsets. You can connect. My nephew's like, yeah, I'm calling my other nephew. I'm calling him. And now we're about to play this game, which I think is dope. And I'm jealous of that part. But I just want to drop the disc in and play. Can I do that anymore, Tom?
No, you cannot.
No, you cannot.
They make it so complicated.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you want to get real good or you want to go further, you got to throw some money out, which you've already spent $60 on the game.
Once the disc was bought, that was it.
And then it lasted 15 years.
Oh,
you
my
would
God.
Play it all the time.
My
yeah.
dad, we would get at it, especially with the baseball game. I would destroy him in the basketball games. He would get mad. But the baseball game, he would get me in that. And MLB, all that stuff. So as we do this, iPod being discontinued is fantastic. 20 years, did its job, is done. You can get music anywhere now. They're done. It's out. So we ask you, as you call in to talk about the Sixers last night, 610-632-0975. We just simply ask you something that became outdated that you wish were still around that you loved. Very simple. All right, I'll give the other one because I said it last, like 2 weeks ago, and then we go to Diane. When I did the sneaker show 2 weeks ago on Friday, I just want to be able to go buy the Jordans that I like. I don't want to have to go to StockX and GOAT and then go to this other store or Stadium Goods and have to pay $500 for a pair of sneakers that I was going to originally pay $110, $120 and just be satisfied with it. If I want to buy my kids theirs as well, I just want to go get it and I don't want to have to go through all this stuff to get the sneakers that I want. I commend the business aspect of it from the people who do it and make a great living from it. But my goodness, can I just go buy the sneakers that I want when they're released? I didn't have to stand in the line. I just went to 52nd Street, got the sneakers that I want, and said, man, let me go home and look at these things for a little bit. Well, let me look at the stitching and all this stuff.
I'll put them on right away.
And now I got to go through all this stuff to get a pair of sneakers. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's do that. Let's talk about it all. Let's get to the Sixers last night. Look ahead to game six because I am not on pregame tomorrow. So we have to get into our pregame as well tonight. Diane in West Philly, she's checking in with us, patiently hanging on. Diane, thank you so much.
Hey, Devon. Nice checking in. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a little frustrated about last night. I'm sure we all are, you know, about the performance, but I'm a bit worried, more so because in big situations, I have not seen the Sixers show up. First, it was, what, March 10th versus the Nets?
Yes.
And then game five, you know, when the situation calls for them to show up in like big moments, I haven't seen them put on that convincing performance where I can say, yes, this looks like a championship team. Now, the Sixers are my team, you know, I'm going to back them to the end, but in moments like these, I need to see them gutting out, you know, gut out a win. If you go down hard, go down fighting. And last night, it was just so hard to watch. You know, I work at Comcast, and we have this big screen. You know, we always put First Take on.
Yeah.
And we refrained from watching First Take any at all today because we know they were going to, like, you know, drill the Sixers. It was just so frustrating last night. No words, but, you know, I still have hope for them for this season. I'm praying, man. I want them to, you know, pull through on Thursday and, you know, somehow, you know, it's a reflection of last season, you know, with game seven again, but somehow we have another piece. Let's pull out this win, you know. But that's just my take. And my, my old school thing.
Oh, okay.
Is the BlackBerry.
Oh, you like the BlackBerry. So you know what's funny, Diane? Because I've seen so many people who like the BlackBerry still over any of the newer types of phones.
Of smartphones. Okay, yeah, I love the BlackBerry. They had one of those features called, I think that's where all the messaging come from, the BBM messenger.
Yeah.
That was really popular amongst, like, you know, school kids, you know, that's where all the group chats and stuff came into play. And I really miss the BlackBerry, you know.
Okay.
If I could bring back any old school thing, it would be the BlackBerry.
It would be the BlackBerry. Thanks, Diane. I hope they win the game tomorrow, force that game seven, and we're talking about it next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Devon.
You got it, Diane. Yeah, so, you know, everything about last night was frustrating. There was nothing positive to take from it. I did lay one out where I said Paul Reed played well in the minutes that he took the floor, which were, again, 15 minutes and 56 seconds. He was 3 for 6. He had 8 rebounds to lead the team in boards in the 15-plus minutes, 7 points, and he also dished out 2 assists and picked up 2 steals, 1 block shot as well. So that was something positive, again, to take away from. He's played okay, especially in a backup role to Embiid, where not as much pressure when DeAndre Jordan was the starting five. And maybe we saw a little glimpse of it last night. Maybe there's a point where Doc Rivers decides that Paul Reed can be on the floor at the same time as Joel Embiid. For the energy purposes, all that, you have to worry about the mistakes. I know, that's still there. However, he gave good minutes. That's the only good thing that came from last night. The only good thing. Terrible performance. They have to be better than that in a big spot like that. 610-632-0975. The BlackBerry. I had one BlackBerry, and then I moved to some of the other phones. I was more of like a sidekick person. T-Mobile had the sidekick.
Did you have the Razor ever?
I did have the Razor.
Everyone had the Razor.
And I had the black one, so I thought I was real slick, too.
Yeah.
The black one
Absolutely.
Was more... Even though that gray one is like a cobalt type, it was real slick. I thought the black was real slick. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to get dirty. I didn't want any of that stuff. I didn't want any stickers on. You know, people would put stickers like on your laptop and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Nah. The black Razor, that was it. But I was more of a sidekick person than I was a BlackBerry.
I think it was called the Quickfire. It was one where it was like a keyboard, but it like slid up and you could see the screen. I thought it was
I had that one too.
Did you?
But I didn't know the name of that.
I think that's what it was called.
Okay.
No one really had it, but I had it, and I don't really know what it was, but I was like, man, that. And then obviously iPhone takes over everything, but you miss those old phones sometimes.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. Do you have any of those old things laying around?
Probably somewhere in my parents' house.
Because you don't throw them away. They just kind of
throw them in a drawer just in
disappear.
Case you need it later.
Right, they just disappear.
I haven't touched it in 20 years, but I might need that at some point, so I'm going to leave it around.
They just disappear. You go get a chip, you know, get that chip that you got to put in there, and go for it. Alex in South Jersey next on The Fanatic. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's up, Devon? How you doing, bro?
I'm okay, man. I mean, still ticked off about last night, but we got to move on a little bit, but still enough time to talk about it.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It was, you know what? It's a lot to unpack. Too much to unpack.
A bunch.
And as much as I'd like to blame one person, I can't pick out one person to blame, really. I think it was just the whole team.
It was, but how do you get to that spot is the question first for you, Alex. How do you get to that spot knowing how big the moment is?
I think you take it a day at a time, you know. So my first thought after the game was actually a really positive one. And I know it was a really bad game, but I thought to myself, I said, I'm just so happy that this is not game six. I'm just so happy.
Meaning this was the one to close the season down.
We have another chance. You know what I mean? Like, if this was that way that they closed out the season, I don't know what I'd do. You know, so my thing is, listen, I'll be honest with you. I really think that Sixers can still win. But my thing is, I really think that they just got to show effort. If they just go out there, and I think that's the thing that shocked. I mean, I'm speaking for me, but I think that's the thing that shocked most people is the fact there was no effort. I mean, if they went out there and showed effort, and we lost by 10 points, 7 points, whatever, I think people would be digesting a lot easier. But the lack of effort is just so not congruent with the city, you know what I mean, with Philadelphia's like energy. So it's just like, I just want to see them go and try. That's all I'm asking for in game six. Just go out there and be the dogs that we know you are. Like, show me some effort, show me some energy.
Are they dogs, though? Are they dogs? I mean, where is that dog on this team?
You gotta believe you are. I think Embiid is. I don't know what happened with Embiid, you know what I mean. I'm gonna chalk it up to him not feeling well, but I'll tell you this, I'm gonna put the performance of the team more so on Doc Rivers.
I'm not.
No, I didn't.
That's where we disagree. I'm not.
Okay. See, I don't think he made enough. I don't think there were any in-game adjustments. You know, I think going up to the team being like, guys, try harder. You got to put them in positions. I mean, you got Maxey in the corner for like pretty much the whole game. You're not throwing plays for him or anything like that. You keep throwing these passes over the top to Embiid at the top of the lane, but he's not able to do anything. You got to find a way to get Embiid the ball down lower.
So my belief without being in that huddle is that Doc Rivers did tell them, yo, we got to have these other. Everybody always has a second option in the play. If you're forcing that to Joel Embiid, that's not Maxey's fault all the time because he's standing in the corner as that where he's supposed to be on that play. Now, look, sometimes Maxey can also break off of that and go do what he does. Just find a way to get into the paint, find a way to cut back door, make himself available. But I've also seen him being told off about it because he's not in the right spot. You know what I'm saying? So that's where I'm not putting it on Doc Rivers, because even with the things that were called, and there were the other counters, the secondary things that go within the action, I didn't see enough of anything to point it at Doc Rivers' fault. I blame more James Harden because you're the point guard.
Yeah.
You're the leader.
Yeah,
you're the one that's supposed to be the other leader outside of Embiid. If they're not listening to Harris, Harden has to be it, and you are the floor general. You are the extension of the coach. Do something about it instead of, to your point, trying to force feed it over the top to Joel Embiid.
Well, you saw him on the press conference at the game, right?
Who?
Harden.
See, you know what? When I listen to Harden, a lot of times he annoys me.
He annoys me too.
He annoys me in post game. a lot, so I don't even bother listening to him too much. plus, we were on the air when he came up.
I think the energy, I wouldn't go listen to it because it's going to irritate you. But I will tell you this, the energy that he showed there if that's what he had in the huddle, if that's what he had in the court, I don't see how you could look to that guy for
that's,
any sort of
that's him all the time. And even sometimes when he's getting down in their throat, Alex, on the court and we see the camera catch it, or I'm at the arena and I just watch him because I see something coming together and I'm like, all right, let me pay attention to this. I see it and I'm like, all right, well, you messed up too. So be the point guard. Make sure you lead by example. And then also voice your opinion the same way that you're doing, the same way you're voicing your opinion for them to play better. You need to do the exact same thing. So
yeah, I agree.
That's something I watched with him. And look, Alex, I know we sprung this on you, man, but do you have something throwback like we see? The iPod is gone and it was a very, very convenient item. Is there something that you wish that was still around maybe that you could use to the day?
It's kind of still around, but it's going to be a very unpopular opinion. I am not a huge fan of the binge-watching streaming. I like the shows to be released weekly because I think that it gives people a chance to actually sit down and talk about the shows. You know what I mean? So I'd want to go back to like a weekly release for all TV shows or all streaming services so people can watch it and talk about it and ponder the next episode, really think about it.
Man, when we would watch TV and be like, I can't wait till next week. Why did they do this to me? Why did I have to wait till next week to find out if Peggy is going to keep her job married with children? I don't know, but I liked it. It kept me. It brought me back next week. Hey, Alex.
Go to the hype.
Exactly, man. Thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I can't take James Harden in those press conferences. I really can't. He just gets under my skin because he just sits there. And look, I think I'm a laid-back person. But he's so nonchalant about the things that are happening at that podium. He's done these for so many years. So I understand that part. But it's still your job to sit there. And he's just like, we got to play better. We got to play with more energy. We can't turn the ball over. Dude, you've been leading the team in turnovers the last three games. So I'm not taking that one and tucking it in my pocket. You know what I'm saying? I don't like him in press conference situations.
He's like the cliche master almost.
Oh,
he just
my
like
gosh.
Yeah, he's mastered at this point. You're never very rarely will you get something of worth from a James Harden press conference worth talking about, worth playing over the radio, whatever it may be. Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
Settle the team down on the floor. You are the point guard. Settle them down. Get them under control and say, "Okay, lead by example. Cool, watch me." Watch what I do. Like you did in the fourth quarter. They needed you. You stepped up. You were 5-for-9 from the floor, 4-for-6 from three. You turned the ball over one time. You had one assist. But guess what? We didn't care about the assists all that much because you were rolling with your 16 points. The one assist that you did have was Tobias Harris with that three during the 8-0 run to start that fourth quarter. Where was the run last night? There were no runs. And you were a big part of it because you're dribbling into traffic, going low, trying to go through running back style, get the foul call, and all of a sudden, you got the airplane mode Joel Embiid to the officials because you're like, where's the foul call? You don't get a foul call. You didn't do anything but run into them and expect it to be 2016 when you got those calls. You're not getting that call again. And then while you're doing that, you got the best view in the house, my man. Look at them going the other way with that 3-2 fast break. Set the tone. Calm them down. Be the calming influence as the point guard. All right. This is why we traded for you, by the way. 610-632-0975. We come back, Eric and Brian and Junior and Robert and Bash. One open phone line. The other thing that we've introduced. Have a little fun as we talk about our side topic. The iPod is gone. It's no more. Discontinued after 20 years, so we're asking you something that became outdated that you wish was still around because you loved it. Tom Alvord went with Blockbuster. I went with just simply being able to drop a disc in the game and play it. If I want to play a video game on a late night, when I'm done the show, I get home at midnight or after midnight, and I just want to play 2K, but I can't do that because then I got to check in, I got to sign in, I got to buy this, I got to buy that. I got to check in with Anthony Gargano at home and make sure he's ready to go and see if he's ready to play. All that stuff just to play the video game. And I just want to go be able to buy the Jordans that I want. That's what we're asking. What do you miss that you love? iPod. Done. No more. If you want to buy one, I probably got about six of them because my kids don't use them anymore. We can talk. Let's get to it. Other side. Until 10, Devon Givens, Tom Alvord, Leftovers 945 right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh man, we got a lot of good stuff on Twitter as well for these for the things that need to be back. Ooh, some good ones too. Tish, she hits us up on Twitter and she said, Devon, I used to get excited about getting/reading the daily news, especially the sports section.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Tish, how about when it was just simply 35 cents? How about that first? Where you could just get it for 35 cents and then go read it and feel good about it. Then it became 75. All right, cool, 75. Dollar. Next thing you know, it's a dollar and some change. Then it's spiked up even higher and you're like, I can't do this anymore.
We looked at it for... like one Christmas, my parents always love reading the newspaper. They do it every morning. They've done it for years, and they stopped doing it the past couple of years. Because it got expensive, and me and my siblings were looking in to get it for them for Christmas one year, and I couldn't believe the price. I'm like, it's a piece of paper. Like I know it's every day it comes or 5 days a week, but I'm like, really? Like that? And we ended up just getting something else because it was that expensive. I couldn't believe it.
Dude, I mean, it really started. He's like, well, I need $2 to actually purchase a daily news now?
Instead of just going to the couch and finding some coins?
Right.
A little different.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. 610-632-0975. OJ Philly on Twitter. It's my man OJ, a great journalist here in the city as well. Says also, he said, as you mentioned, there was nothing like going to 52nd Street for your next pair of kicks and checking out all the posters. That's when you would go into the sneaker stores, and they would have all of the old posters of the local players, Dr. J, Charles Barkley. But then you would have Iceman, George Gervin. He would be on the wall. You would have Dr. Duncanstein, where Daryl Griffith would have like a lab coat on and a stethoscope around his neck with the basketball in his uniform. So he had the lab coat over the uniform.
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. They would be cool. The football posters would be monsters of the Midwest. So you have like Walter Payton running over the city of Chicago or Green Bay or whatever it was, right? That's how cool the posters were. You can actually find a lot of those online now. Look up all old
eBay
sports posters.
Stuff, I'm sure you can
yeah,
find
you can find
ones.
A lot of those because I still have my Jordan posters that I have. I have my favorite. I have a Wings poster of the Jordan where he's just simply standing like James Harden complaining
classic.
To the officials. I had to say it. And a couple of other Jordan posters that were just the best. And I had Dominique posters. Even though you're only supposed to love your local teams,
nah.
Those were dope. You had to have
players.
Those.
When you're a young kid and stuff, you're looking up, yeah.
Or we used to do this before Slam came out. We would just like a Sports Illustrated or a sport magazine, rip it out like really, perfectly where the edges were still good and put that on the wall. So,
and then they started putting posters in the magazines, and that helped every now and then. Yeah, posters is a good one, too.
That was
not as cool as they used to be.
Fun times. Yeah, 610-632-0975. As you say this about the phone, Rev Ronnie 98, he says, the Nokia phone with the snake game, bro. the games are totally different then.
Phone games, yes.
Oh, man, the games are totally different. He said, we need that back.
Or whatever it was called, or the ping pong one. Yeah, there were some great old phone games.
Old phone games, man, all that stuff. Great stuff. 610-632-0975. We're still talking Sixers when you call in. give us your throwback thing that you wish came back, because the iPod being discontinued after 20 years, something that you loved, that was working out for you, they took it away. Like sneakers, can't buy them anymore. Daryl said, it shouldn't be a research project to get a pair of sneakers. It shouldn't be. Just go get them. Just go get them.
Just walk into a store.
I mean, listen to that, Tom, though. And I know the demand is different because of shipping and all that stuff, and you can just go all over the place, all over the country, all over the world, and get a pair of sneakers. But, man, they would be stocked in the store and didn't run out. You could go to the store. They'd be wrapped in that plastic, the saran wrap. You look on the bottom, they had the tape. They wrote it in tape. They go to the construction. They go to the Home Depot, hardware store, get the tape, rip it, put it on the bottom of the sneaker, write 6, 3, 4, 10. And when you had, they would cross them off if you didn't have it anymore. It was not anymore. It's a research project, like Daryl said.
It's too much of a phenomenon, man. And you see, man. The business aspect of it, too.
I know. Look, and again, I commend them for the money that they make and the business that it has turned into. But can I just go to the store and buy a pair of sneakers that I want? Please? Can I just do that? I like when the Air Max would come out with the new flavor, and I'm like, all right, cool. All right, did you see these? Yeah, let's go to 52nd Street. Let's go grab a pair of these. All right, great. Let's go. Mom, can I have $100? No. All right, cool. Let me go ask my dad. Dad, can I have $100? You know how I went. And you just go do what you had to do. But that was tough. Twan says on Twitter, and this is Twan. You familiar with the Stixers from the Sixers, the great Stixers, the band that's there, right? They do a great job. Twan does a great job with those young kids, giving them something to do. Twan says, hey, bro, that's not true. I'm on the PS5 with he's got a password and all that stuff. He says, you have to download the content because of the graphics.
Too complicated.
I don't need all that, Twan.
I don't need it.
I don't need it.
I don't need explanations.
I don't need all that. I just want to drop the disc in. If there's a problem, take it out, wipe it down, put it back in the thing. And
blow in the slot if you have to. Just in case it's dusty.
Whatever you need. If it's dusty, I want to upload the game and just go to work.
That was a bet. The old Nintendo 64s, it wouldn't work for 3 straight tries. Then you just blow in the little thing and dust goes out and it's good to go, like nothing ever happened.
We would tilt it. We would put like 2 magazines underneath it where it's on an angle if it's not working properly.
Yep.
Oh, man, all that stuff.
Maneuver the wires some certain way.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, the Stixers are in the game. So that's dope to see Twan and those guys in the game. Matty Cord, all of them, Derek, everybody. So great stuff. But yeah, we're asking you all for some throwback stuff that's no longer. It may be outdated. It's been replaced by something else that you just flat out love. Teach gave a great one with the Daily News. Just simple. 35 cent, go get a Daily News. That's like 3 hours of your day. 3 hours of your day. I used to sit in there, look at the stats, look at the scoring leaders, the field goal percentage, the steals, the three-point percentage, all that stuff. And it was real, the font was real small. But I saw it. Junior in Philly next with us on the Fanatic. What's up, Junior?
What's going on?
What's happening?
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Sixers.
Please do.
Oh, please. Okay, so in my opinion, I think the James Harden trade was the biggest mistake. The reason why I say that is because the Sixers are a young team, full of energy.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to have veterans on your team. You see, Chris Paul's an old guy on the Phoenix Suns that's young.
See, here's the thing. James Harden gives off that energy like, I don't care. I'm getting paid. I don't care. There's no leader. I don't see no leadership in James Harden that can help this team win. I don't see that.
At all?
At all.
Okay. And look, I can't argue you down and say, I mean, all I can do is, here's my counter, Junior. My counter is, when you wanted a point guard to give you 22, 10, and 8, or 22, 9, and 8, shoot a good percentage from the foul line, good percentage from the three-point line. He does all that stuff. He just doesn't play the defense that Ben Simmons did. But we asked all of those other things from Ben Simmons. He didn't bring it to you. So as a point guard, he is giving you those numbers. I wish there was other stuff, because sometimes I don't like the body language. the pitter-patter of the basketball, where it seems like you're wasting time on the shot clock and others don't know how to move because maybe the personnel isn't right for them to do all those things as well. But he does do that. So that would be my counter to you with those numbers that he's putting up. And by the way, you're winning games.
Okay. You're absolutely right. We are winning games. I want to talk about disconnected. Okay.
My man. Great. What you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to change it up a little bit. But that's still around. GameStop. GameStop is not the same no more.
Yeah.
Once you walk into GameStop, it feels like you went a toy store.
Yeah.
It's not full of games anymore. Like it used to. You should go inside. You see SmackDown versus Raw, Need for Speed, other, you know, PS, like other type of games. And it's like, once you go walk in there, it's depressing.
Okay. All right. I like it. I didn't go in there much. I would go in there with the one idea of getting of whatever I needed. I was only a sports guy as a video game player. I didn't really get into the other games. That was just me. So when I wanted something, I knew exactly what I was going for, and then I was out. But I do know that it was an experience for a lot of people to go into GameStop and have it to be that type of experience on a weekend where you're going to spend a little time in there, getting to know the workers, all that stuff.
Exactly,
man. Hey, June, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate it.
And that wasn't really, you know, my thing. But I know it's a big deal, and I don't know what it's like now because you can download everything.
Yeah, I stopped in probably like 2 years ago. And I'm like you, sports games pretty much strictly my whole life. But I went in around COVID one time. I forget when it was. But, I understand what he's saying a little bit. There was a ton of, like, stuffed animals, those little, like, I don't know, fluffy thing. I don't know what the heck. There was a very limited amount of game space and more T-shirts and other stuff going around. When I guess back in the day, you could go in, like, they had TV set up. You could actually play and demo things.
Oh, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You should be able to do that in the Best Buy. Yeah. I don't know if you can do that anymore.
No.
You could do that.
You can play, like, full seasons if you wanted to.
Right. You go in the store. Your
games.
Mom wants to go shopping over in the corner of Target, and the video game is up. Mom, I'll meet you over there in about 10 minutes.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? You got the line behind you, like, you guys are going to hurry up? Nah, we got this covered for a good 10 minutes here. Move on.
We got 50 more games in this season. You guys better hang tight.
Right. 610-632-0975. Dub C Tank 25, that's Dre on Twitter, says, we used to go to the library and take the basketball pictures out of the magazines. Love it, Dre. Love it. Right? No need to buy that Sports Illustrated. I know what's in there. I'm going in there to get this Jordan picture because I love it. Or this other player that I admire from afar, even though I'm a Sixer fan, Mitch Richmond, Golden State Warriors or something like that. And you want that one. No doubt. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. 610-632-0975. Can I give another one since nobody has said it?
Go ahead.
Since I'm older, the trading card was dope. It's starting to come back.
Trading card, like sports cards.
It's starting to come back. Yes, it's starting to come back. But it's different.
It's kind of like the shoe industry, where it's just like people are, you know, buying a bunch of them in bulk. They had like issues at like Walmart and Target where they weren't selling cards anymore because people were getting stabbed and in fights and stuff all over a box of baseball cards. It's crazy. Days were the best when we were younger, but it's nowhere near the same now.
And see, for me, it was, again, since I'm older than you, the corner store, go get the corner store, go 25-cent, 35-cent for the pack, get the stale gum. I would get it every morning before school. We would do this in school. This was middle school, elementary school. We would take, everybody starting to compare cards. And look, I was already a sports fan, but that's a lot of stuff where I would start to remember things because we would quiz each other. My best friends to this day, we would quiz each other on, all right, what's on the back of John Crotty's basketball card? What school did he go to?
How many all-star appearances?
Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Yeah, that's what we would do.
Now everything's, you know, digitized.
Yeah.
I guess that's the word.
And I was a geek with this stuff, so I would use it as like, that would be part of my school, my like a project or my book report. And I would staple the ones that I didn't want to keep, I would staple that card to the piece of paper or the construction paper and do it that way as well. 610-632-0975. That's Tom Alvord. I'm Devon Givens on this Wednesday night as we break down game five. Sixers lose by 35. Terrible performance. They still have life left, but they're on a short leash here with one game remaining, and they're eliminated if they lose it. That's game number six back at home, 7 o'clock start time tomorrow here on the Fanatic in South Philadelphia. They win it, they make it to a game seven where you have a 50-50 shot of moving on to the Eastern Conference Finals. They desperately need to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. All these second round exits, four of the last five, the one being the bubble where they lost in the first round. Got some really good teams over these last couple of years, and all we've seen are second round exits. Everything continues to change with the roster, but the result stays the same. Robin Delco with us here. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Devon. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How about you?
Good, gentlemen. Airways. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm pretty good. Always good to hear from you.
Devon, man, I can probably reel off a dozen things.
we only take one.
Brown bagging your books, covering them with...
How about that?
Covered them with newspaper or something like that. I mean, you know, like shopping bag. Like
and then you would have to get real creative. You would take the newspaper from the Daily News or the Inquirer, and you would try to line it up perfectly where you had a photo of Mo Cheeks on the front of your book or somewhere on the book.
See, I was a Catholic schoolboy, 12 years, you know, West Catholic, all that. And I mean, just a brown bag. And then I got real fancy with the contact paper and all that, you know what I mean? Old school, but Devon, this is why I'm upset, Devon.
Okay. Yep.
Born and bred Southwest Philly. I was a 4-for-4 guy, but that one franchise that plays on ice, I don't know what they are. They're a mess, that team. But I live and die with my sports team. This is all I want, Devon. I can live with physical mistakes. And this is why I'm going to come hard at Embiid and hard at Harden, because they're the leaders. They're the guys that Tobias, Maxey, even the bench guys, they're feeding off their energy, okay? They're looking at them, and if those guys have their head down and they're moping and their body language is bad, it's going to reflect that, and it's going to spill down to these other guys. But I just want them, Devon, to care as much as I care. I just want them, Devon, to give as much, you know, to lay it all out on the field. You know what I mean? I have no questions. Like, that's why I kind of give certain guys a pass. AI back in the day. Even Harper now. I know when these guys play, they're not doing it. They're leaving it all out in the field. If a guy, I can't get on Mitch Williams, Devon. You know what I mean? He gave it to home run to Joe Carter. Broke my heart. But it was a physical mistake. I don't think he did it because, you know.
He didn't want to throw that.
No,
he didn't want to do that.
No, but I can forgive him because he stood up. He owned it. You know, like, I can move on now that I'm getting older. I can deal with it a little bit more. But when I see Embiid moping, when I see Adebayo pushing around Embiid, it pisses me off, Devon. He shouldn't be pushing him around because his son might be hurt. He might have that mask on, but he got that rear end. He can stick in his side and back him down in that post. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way he should get manhandled by Obadiah. No way, Adebayo. No way he should get manhandled by him.
Not at all, man. Not at all. And he played, while his numbers didn't show it. You know, he played better last night. Adebayo did against Embiid. And
Arthur called him on the carpet. I'm just, he was playing with his head in his rear end. I'm sorry. And I love Embiid. I expect so much more from him. And that's why I'm hard on him. And you mentioned it with Harden, that pity pat at the top of the key. And then he goes to like three guys, and his vertical could go over a newspaper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what do you expect to get off?
Then he's got his arms up. Where's the foul? Well, my man, you're not getting that call, man.
No, you're not. But the old school thing, Devon, oh my God.
Yes, please.
Every Christmas, I'd wait for that Sears catalog. And we'd come with those Christmas toys back in the day. And I go through, that's a lost start now. You know, the toy store, the Sears catalog thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one, man. You would always look at that. My grandma was notorious for that.
I'm creasing corners of the pages I wanted to go back.
100%. Or they would allow me to get the marker, which was like equivalent of a Sharpie. And
sure.
just mark down the stuff that you wanted, Rob.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the best.
I wait for every Christmas to come out.
That was the best. Thanks, man. Good to hear from you.
We'll
talk to you. Really appreciate it. Yeah, man. I mean, just the effort and energy. I think we all saw that lack thereof with that game last night. And that's what was really so puzzling about it, because of what the opportunity was in front of you, what was presented, and you couldn't give more than that? You let Miami just go out there and just do whatever they wanted. They were so comfortable out there on the floor. They're like, oh, we're going to run this. We can get this wherever we want to get this. Nah. You get your doors blown off by 35, 120, 85, 16 turnovers again for 23 points in those games. What did I say? 19, 17, and 16, the last three games. Come on, man. 17 turnovers a night the last three games.
And the best part about it was last night, you're like, that was your main opening topic. Just keep the turnovers down. That's all you, like, that's not all you have to do, but that is such a huge aspect of you winning these games and winning the series and going further in these playoffs. Keep the turnovers down. I look up, I'm doing highlights here, obviously sitting here watching the game. They got, what, five turnovers in the first, like, 4 minutes, it felt like. It was just like, come on, really? In this game, in that arena, this big of a moment, it's inexcusable.
Just can't do it. Cannot do it. All right, we come right back. We get everybody in the mix again. We keep it going. Sixers conversation and the throwback. iPod, no longer. Gone. 20 years. They're discontinuing it. So, seventh generation was the last one. Something that you wished that you loved back then that you could still use right now because it made things so much easier. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens. Tom Alvord, Phillies win. Got to talk about that as well. They get a win against the Seattle Mariners. We'll get to that as well right here. Going until 10, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's Big Pimpin', baby. As soon as I hear this with the Big Pimpin' walking in back in the studio, my throwback, 610-632-0975. It makes me think of music videos. We couldn't wait. Oh, we got a song? When's the video coming out? Or if the video came out first, and then you get, then you listen, oh, I need to go buy that CD. That's what it was. No music videos like that. I mean, they still make them, but.
Nah, they're not like, you couldn't wait for a music video to come out. Like, even when I was a little bit younger, like, they were still coming out. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't know if it was MTV necessarily, but, like, you were still kind of waiting around. They had, like, every Sunday, I think it was, they had, like, an hour. The whole morning was just music videos. And, like, yeah, because music videos are great. If they're well done, they're awesome. And it can, like, fall you in love with the song if the music video is good.
Even if you didn't like it at first, you're like, wait a minute, the music video.
But the music video
now I can hear it and picture it when I'm not actually watching it. I remember this happening in the video, so it was actually dope. So, yeah. Yeah. Good stuff, folks.
That's a good one, though.
Everybody's bringing up some really good things. 610-632-0975. Big Scoob says, Nextel was the walkie-talkie. Yeah. Remember that one, the Nextel?
I don't know.
No?
Yeah. I don't think so.
It was a flip phone, but it was like a clear top, or it was like a clear top on the flip part, but it was actually a walkie-talkie kind of on there too.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of like basically like a walkie. I mean, it was a phone, but you could also connect with somebody if they were in a certain range where you could.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were pretty cool. 610-632-0975. All right, let's get back to the phones. We will mix in a lot of these. Tom, though, 4-2 Phillies win. You were able to pay a little more attention to it. You were monitoring it while we were getting ready for the show. What was going on in Philly's game since I was unable to watch it?
Yeah, so obviously 4-2, the Phils win. They win their series against the Seattle Mariners, which is a huge series for them to win.
Joe Girardi needed that.
Yes, he did. Very badly. They now go into a series in Los Angeles against the Dodgers, everyone's World Series pick for this year. Got a four-game series there. So it was big time to win this one, win this series against Seattle. Hopefully you can go into L.A. and try and split. Like I think that's all we can really ask for against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Don't get swept. But, yeah, today you had Bailey Falter in a spot start because no Zach Wheeler due to COVID.
But he will be with the team in L.A.
Yeah, and he will start tomorrow, actually, as well.
Yep.
Falter gave you a really good outing, 4 2/3. I believe only, one run allowed. Rhys Hoskins is starting to break out of his slump. He has a homer in three straight games. Had a grand slam today. Yes, which they needed desperately, and he needed desperately it well. Bullpen hung tough. Gave up one run. Corey Knebel came in, and other besides that one blown loss last Thursday, which I know we don't want to relive, Corey Knebel's been really good, and it's actually a closer you can trust for the first time in a while.
He was your key for the season.
Yeah. Stay healthy.
He's only had a couple of bad appearances.
I think one Thursday. And that was a tough spot. He was thrown in when he wasn't expecting the pitch. Other than that, I think he has one other blown save, I believe. But, he's, just kind of weathered the storm. It's going to be a weird early start to the season. They can hover around 500 when those, temperature gets a little bit hotter. That's all I can really ask for at this point.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Let's keep it rolling on the phones. Talk about the Phillies if you like to, since they did win the series against the Mariners, a 4-2 victory this afternoon. Now on to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bash on the cell with us next. Talking to Little Hoops. What's up, Bash?
What's going on, Devon?
A lot, man. They're on the brink of elimination, and it's their fault.
Listen, man, I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm a Heat fan, actually. So, me watching this series, it's a great series. I thought the Sixers was going to win the series with Embiid being injured or without him being injured because I feel like the Sixers is the better team, actually.
Yeah.
But the problem I'm seeing with the Sixers, and I saw Kenny Smith spoke about it on TNT, they can't get the entry pass into Embiid.
So, Bash, that's one of the things that I started off with tonight, which was they simply do not know how to pass the ball inside and not turn it over. It's really simple, and the one I'm more disappointed in is the point guard, because while I trust him with his touch passes and he has very good vision and all of that, he's trusting it too much, and it's becoming a problem where he should probably go elsewhere with the pass. And try to get a bucket there because they're how much they're loading up to try to stop Embiid.
Yeah, and I feel like as far as the entry pass, it's a lost art in basketball at this point. From college on to high school down, because a coach like basketball, it's like a lot of these kids, even NBA players, they can't make that simple pass.
Yep.
For whatever reason, it's very difficult for them. So
This has been this way for a long time because I could point out every year when I felt there were good entry passes on the Sixers team. Back to when T.J. McConnell was here and Ben Simmons was here, I thought T.J. Mm-hmm. McConnell was the best interior passer as far as the fundamental of it all to get the ball inside to Joel Embiid. When J.J. Redick mm-hmm. was here, I thought he was second best on the team. Then you look at the last couple of seasons, I thought Shake Milton was the only one that could really make an interior pass outside of Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, when he was here, he was really good at it, and Shake Milton was the other one. Other than that, I'm like, these guys don't know how to do the simple thing of getting the ball inside to their big man, throwing it to their hand, where that's what you're taught. Throw the ball when his hand is out to his hand.
Yep. Yeah, I love Jimmy, man. Like I said, I thought the Sixers was going to get it. But the way Jimmy's playing, it's like, wow, man. And I feel like Harden got to give y'all more. Harden has to do more.
Well, yeah.
But I think it's going to go 7, though. I got a feeling you guys are going to win it, and Miami going to take it in 7 back in Miami.
I hope you're right about Game 6, and certainly, Bash, hope you're wrong about Game 7. Hey, man, give us a throwback if you could.
Here's one for you.
All right.
I don't know if you remember this. Dreamcast.
Dreamcast.
When they had the system. Yeah, the system Dreamcast. Yep. That's when 2K first came out.
Yep.
And they even had the 2K football game, too. I think T.O. was on the cover at that time.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that video game, that's one of my favorite systems that I used to love to play. I wish they would come back out with it.
Man, listen, that's a really good one. Something that you miss. And again, as you just said at the end, something you wish they would come back out. That's what we're talking about. Thanks, Bash. Appreciate it. You got it, man. Great stuff. The interior passing, Tom, you talked about me mentioning the turnovers, like last night, the 16 leading to 23 points. And the other one that I came right out with, and I brought it up on the morning show as one of my three-pointers, was the entry pass. Simple entry pass. Dump it in. Simple entry pass. Dump it in, man. Just come on. Drop that thing right in there. Bounce pass. To his hand, whatever it is. Simple. Really simple. No one can do it.
There's a lot of really simple things that at times the Philadelphia 76ers just look like they have no idea how to do. Stuff that you learn in middle school when you're learning the game of basketball, whether it be to not, you know, keep control of the ball, not turn the ball over, the entry pass, offensive rebounding, giving effort on that end, boxing people out. How often do we see a guy just slither right by whoever is trying to get a rebound for the Sixers, get over him because he, you know, has better positioning, grab a quick rebound, put the ball up. It's just this team is so frustrating, man, how they can just lift this city up and have them feeling so high, have them feeling so great, and 2 days later, rip them all down and have us questioning everything that's going to happen with this team now and in the future, and if everything was all worth it with this team and everything that got broke down and rebuilt to get here.
Yeah. Anthony on Twitter, Anthony Dean Sr. on Twitter. He's Anthony Dean Photography. We appreciate you listening. And said, Devon, explain why it just can't be the letdown from the MVP. Yes, he figured he wasn't going to win it 2 weeks ago, but just like a kid asking for the Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas and was told no, they still have hope until you wake up and that gun isn't under the tree. Well, the only difference there, Ant, is they are more plugged in, obviously, in the NBA, the NBA circles, whether it's he, it's the team, the agents, the general manager, the president of basketball ops. They get, again, 2 weeks ago, they get a heads up on what it looks like and what it may or may not be. So he, not just from him believing because of the reports that we were here, but also getting that backdoor information that they weren't going to win it. And I understand it's that still deflating thing of, I finally heard it and it really destroyed me. But the only problem is it's not the regular season. You don't get another chance to live to ask for another one until next Christmas, to your point. The next offseason is that next Christmas where you start off to try to, again, forge your way to be an MVP candidate and finalist one more time. They don't have room for error. He's the one, Anthony, that sets the tone. Even with that, sometimes, yes, you are defeated about it. Your energy is lost. But you still have to find a way to, even when your younger siblings are having a good time on Christmas and you're disappointed, it cannot show.
I'm not worried about next Christmas at all.
Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
It cannot show.
Absolutely.
And it showed. He is human, but it showed. And the younger siblings then follow. Now their Christmas is a little ruined, or they have to be a little more reserved with their excitement because they did get the Red Ryder BB gun and you didn't, knowing that you wanted it.
Now dad's pissed off. Now mom's upset.
Now everyone's Christmas is ruined.
And now it's a bad Christmas.
And now we have to be forced with the Christmas day after where we have to return the gift. Hopefully you get something in return that's good enough to force you to that New Year's where everybody's having a good time, which would be the game 7.
I've had too many crappy Christmases in a row with this Philadelphia 76ers team. I'm not worried about next Christmas. Like, win it this year. Have a good Christmas this year. Come on. Are you, like, not win the whole thing. Obviously, that'd be great. But, like, can we just get past the second round? Isn't that too much? Is it too much to ask?
No, I think.
When I have James Harden.
You're built the right way. You make that trade for that particular reason that you're talking about. You know, there's that.
When I have Tobias Harris playing the best basketball of his career, at least as a Sixer.
when I have Tyrese Maxey, who is a young, budding star in this league, paired up with Joel Embiid and James Harden? Is it too much to ask?
No, I don't think it's too much to ask.
Apparently it is.
In the offseason, the bench, that's going to be the outside of the obvious, going to be the biggest thing that they have to focus on in the offseason. 360 VI, listen to this one. I was thinking about this one, but I wasn't sure if anybody was going to go with it. Devon, dude, payphones.
Payphones.
Don't want records of every call, you know? Miss those days, brother. Payphones. We wish we had them back. Now, look, sometimes your phone dies now with these, right? And you don't have your charger in the car. You don't want to go spend $20 for the cord to plug it into your car, at least. And you don't want to do that. Let me go just drop this quarter in the payphone and make my phone call real quick. If you remember the number, because nobody remembers phone numbers anymore. You know what I'm saying? You know what number I remember? My best friend's. I don't even remember my daughter's numbers. I remember the pizza store because I've been calling it since I was a kid. I go to the same pizza store from around the way. I remember that number. Other than that, I don't even know if I can get to the payphone because I won't know where I'm calling. But payphones 360 VI, that's a great one. That's a great one. And Ramid said also the side topic. I didn't see Ramid. I brought it up when we came back with Big Pimpin' on the music videos. He said music videos that actually match the songs. So good stuff. Yeah. But payphones is a good one. You don't see them anymore.
Nah, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, at all.
If they exist, they don't work.
Yeah.
They're just there. It's like a museum artifact at this point.
Right, Motor City Gov says, wasn't West Coast Video on Township Line at Upper Darby? Yes, there was one there as well, Free Rudy, but we also had one on City Line as well, so we would go there too. So there you go. Jovan Alford, great guy, journalist, staff writer at DK Live. He said the Dreamcast earlier too, so I missed it. Appreciate that. He says the Nintendo 64 and the Sega Dreamcast, the two things that he wished was still around.
Never had Dreamcast, but 64 is all time.
Yeah, he's got the Dreamcast GIF. What did we say it was?
It is GIF. Yes, right. Correct.
He's got the Dreamcast GIF here on the tweet as well. I'll send that one to you, Tom, so you can see what the Dreamcast looked like. Let's go back to the phones as we go until 10 o'clock, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. That's Tom Alvord. You have the leftovers at 9:45. Phillies win 4-2 today, taking the series over the Mariners. Let's go to Spider in South Philly with us here on this Wednesday night. What's up, Spider?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm good, man. Oh, that next pair you're talking about is called an I-1000.
I-1000? Okay. I never had one.
Oh, yeah, I had one of them joints, man. I used to love it. I used to be on the CB radio all the time, just hitting random people up.
Just because you could.
Yeah.
No reason to really call them, but just because you could.
Get forward and just beep, beep, hit a button, and they'd be like, who's this?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
It used to be bad fun. But, man, whoo, the way I called the other day and was all, you know, no doubts, man, listen, I just don't understand something. I don't see how not winning that award could make all of them play like that. They played with no energy, no effort. I didn't see no smart basketball being played at all. Like, what happens when they go to Miami on their off day? I just trying to figure out what do they do that they just, the next day when it's time to play basketball, they just don't have nothing in their gas tank and their brain seem like they just don't work. It took to the fourth quarter and about, it was probably like 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, 8 minutes left or whatever. So they figured out Embiid need to get to the free throw line in that zone that they play to get the ball to him instead of him keep fighting with Bam down inside the paint. It took them that long to figure out that's where he needed to get to get him
last
the ball.
Night. They didn't really play. No, last night they didn't play in late in the game.
Well, no, listen. Well, it was in the fourth quarter they figured it out. He was still playing in the fourth quarter, and he was getting the ball at the free throw line.
Yeah, but he only played a minute in the fourth quarter.
Well. In the third,
it was in the third, late in the third
quarter. It took them that long to figure out that he need to get to the free throw line to get the ball into him.
Yeah.
So he can work and do what he got.
And that's when he went. He played the whole quarter. He played.
He started. He was
5 for 6. He had 11 points, the lead, all scorers in the quarter. But it was already too late because they were just basically matching them.
Yeah. So he's. I don't understand how it took them that long to figure that out. And I don't understand how. Why is it every time Miami players come around a pick or a screen, they be wide open?
Wide open.
Wide open.
Drives to the basket. Wide open.
Yeah. I just don't get it.
Yep.
Because
they were playing with effort last night. Energy they had. The Sixers were not.
It looked like their feet were stuck in mud.
Yep. In the sand. Still on the beach.
I'm just trying to figure out what is it that.
That's the problem. We're trying to figure it out, and we shouldn't be trying to figure it out. And game number 90 of the, you know, of the season, right. Where, what is it, 82, they've already played. They played 11 now. So we're already looking at game 93. We shouldn't be talking about this anymore.
Exactly.
We shouldn't be talking about 16 turnovers anymore.
I just don't see it.
And look, playoffs are playoffs where other teams play too, so sometimes you have to give them credit. That wasn't all Miami. They just brought the better effort than the Sixers did.
Bro, we lost by 35. If Embiid even would have scored 30, we still would have lost by double digits. So people reaming him on Embiid and they're getting on him about, you know, his effort. Yeah, he played bad, but the entire team played bad, man. They just didn't play. I want to see some smart basketball when they go back. If we go back to Miami, because I think Miami might just be in gear and get us tomorrow night.
It might be.
Man, so
it might be. All right, give us a throwback, please, man, Spider.
Ooh, a throwback, bro? Dang. Do they still make game magazines? Because when I used to be in the video games a lot, I used to always read the game video game magazines like Game Pros.
Okay.
And the sharp joints used to be the cheats and all that in there.
Oh, with the cheat codes.
Okay. Yeah, I used to read them joints every week.
Okay, that's all right. I appreciate that. We actually had one that said GameStop a little earlier just because it was an experience just to go in there.
Oh, and your man can get the, if he want one of them old Dreamcast, GameStop got them too.
Oh, really, Bash? You hear that out there? Dreamcast. Javon, you hear that? Dreamcast. At GameStop. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Spider.
I went to my basement.
Oh, look at you. All right, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, man. They have more energy. That's why they were getting all those extra shots. They took their will, man. Took their will. Let's see what they have on the bounce back. By the way, when we talk about Blockbuster, I got an email from one of our listeners. We appreciate Mark Zwick. From Anchorage, Alaska.
I know what this is about.
Mark says the last Blockbuster is still in Anchorage. They rent it out as a theater.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
I knew there was one left, and I was almost positive it was in Alaska. Did not know they rented it out like
they
that.
They rent it out as a theater. Thank you, Mark.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about that?
It's got to be cool to going in, you know, reminiscing a little bit, feeling like you're a young kid again.
That's right.
Teenager again.
That's right. There you go. Troy, hang on for us. You'll be first. I don't want to rush your phone call before the break, so hang on. We'll get you up next. Then we have Drew and Doug and John and Brandon and everybody else. 610-632-0975. We'll read all the tweets. We'll talk some Phillies as well if you want to get into that after they won 4-2 this afternoon. Now they're on to Los Angeles. Zach Wheeler joining the team after the health and safety protocols. So he'll be with the squad in Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. Natasha Cloud, she's also out for the Washington Mystics in the WNBA because of health and safety protocols, and she went off on the WNBA. She was not happy because they're flying commercial flights around everybody and no mask requirements, no mandates. Not happy. Tosh, local product, not happy at all. I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. Season's just getting underway. Now she's got to deal with that. Steve Kerr, he's still out now with health and safety protocols. Mike Brown, trying to coach the squad into a 4-1 series win over the Grizzlies before he leaves for the Sacramento Kings and goes into basketball purgatory. You leave the Warriors to go there. All right.
Good luck.
Good luck with that, Mike. All right, we come back. We get Troy and everybody behind. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. That's Tyler. That's Tom Alvord. We're with you on this Wednesday night, talking Sixers in the game last night, looking ahead to game 6 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons. On 97.5. The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So the NBA officially announced the Most Valuable Player Award, which, as we know, went to Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. Definitely worthy of the award. But the results were a little bit off from what I thought it would be. So here's where I'll just give you the top five. Nikola Jokic, obviously, and Embiid came in second. Giannis third, Devin Booker fourth, and Luka Doncic fifth. Jokic had a total of 875 total points. Embiid, 706. Giannis, 595. Booker, 216. And Doncic, 146. First place votes worth 10 points. Jokic, 65 first place votes. Embiid, 26 first place votes. And Giannis with 9 first place votes. No other player on the list had a first place vote. Second place votes, Jokic 27, Embiid 39, worth 7 points, by the way. 32 for Giannis, 1 each for Booker and Doncic, none for the others. And the third place votes that really matter here at this point, worth 5 points. Third place votes, Jokic gets 6, Embiid 34, and Giannis 52, 8 for Booker, none for anyone else. And then you have the fourth and the fifth place votes. In the fifth place, Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis, they didn't get any, as they should not. And fourth place votes, Jokic with 2, Embiid 1, Giannis 7. And there you have it. That's how Embiid comes in second. He 706 points to Jokic's 875. So he is the MVP, Jokic. Back-to-back, he becomes the 13th player to win the award in consecutive seasons. So if Embiid wants to, if he wants to worry about that, he is still playing. And as the video was being broadcast, as I saw it during a commercial break on social media on TNT, where the game was, where it was awarded to Jokic, he's sitting at home in Serbia, and I just see horses behind him.
It's in like a stable or something.
Yes. So, look, man, the guy's definitely worthy of an MVP, in my opinion. We all just, most of us just felt like Embiid should have won it. But second place, it's not a bad thing. Thought he should have won it.
Also, real quick, there was actual NBA voters out there that voted Devin Booker in second place in the MVP voting and Luka Doncic in second place in the MVP voting. Mm-hmm. You don't have Giannis, Jokic, or Embiid in second place in the MVP voting.
So you took a vote away from
one of the other three. Just because you're trying to make a point. Oh. Yeah, no. These guys had a good year, but I want to be different. Luka had a better year than Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. which is blasphemy. Mm-hmm. Luka had a better year than Giannis. Also blasphemy.
And he came on strong in the second half of the season.
Sure.
He was great. That's why he should be in the top five.
But
just,
two?
Just not those. Yeah, those were votes that, again, it wouldn't have made a difference for Embiid or Giannis, because we're just talking about 7 more points would have put Embiid at 713. Or the same for Giannis, which would have put him at 602. But to your point, again, even the eight third place votes that Booker got, he got 8. No one else got any behind Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis. Of course, the 8 would have just simply helped in terms of the total for one of the other three. And, you know, but great season by Embiid, regular season overall. He's had a okay playoffs. Defense was playing the way that they did against him in Toronto, so he averaged about 25. This one, he's only played in three games. The other two are okay. He didn't play well last night. He has a chance to extend his season and do something that Jokic is not, which is play further into the spring and hopefully the summer if he can bring this team back. 610-632-0975. So we thought we would give you that and just share with you everything that happened there. KM_EST87, not a happy. The MVP vote results officially released. What a joke. This is where we are. This is where we are. As far as the game, Tariq says, when I think this is when I was talking about Harden, he says, that's not his game, talking about the mid-range stuff. It's always been step-back threes, drive, score, floaters, and free throws. Mid-range jumpers, not so much. Yeah, but Reek, the only reason I said that it needed to be part of his game right now is because he has shown me a few times as a Sixer where he has stopped and taken that mid-range jumper, which prompted me to say, do that more because you have no lift on your step-back threes, and they are heavily contested. You used to be able to do that much easier. Now, not so much. So, as a result, take what's given to you, Reek. Then go back to some of the other things. It's a long game. You're playing 40 minutes. You can sprinkle that stuff in and kind of open things up for yourself and your teammates as a result. So that's why I said that, even though I agree with you. I know that's always been his game. This is something different. This is something different. So mid-range jumpers, not so much. As a high-level player that he told us he is, you figure it out and evolve it to what is needed at the moment. At the moment. Maybe it is a health thing with him. He's not complaining about it. He's just going out there and playing. We'll find out in the summer. He's had surgery, fixed the hammy, or he's resting because of the hammy, and he comes back next year, just beginning their training camp, preseason, and getting the start of regular season, and he's fine. Then we'll know. But right now, he has to do it maybe differently because if he's not healthy, your health doesn't allow you to do the stuff that you're accustomed to doing. 610-632-0975. We go to Troy in Washington Township as promised here on 97.5. Troy.
What's up, Devon? Tom, how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great, man. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just wanted to give you my quick points on the Sixers and then my throwback. So watching the game last night, it was very evident to me early on that the Sixers were playing with no passion, no energy. I mean, even Tyrese Maxey was stopping on plays, not running, not hustling down the court. I just think that the trip to Miami, maybe they got a little lackadaisical. Mm. They probably thought they might have had it in the bag, essentially. But I don't know how you're the fourth seed playing the one seed thinking you have it in the bag, but.
Yeah, that's you can't think that. You can't think that, especially when you had to fight so hard to get those two after dropping the first two. You got to play as if you, and Tyrese Maxey said this after game two, we haven't done anything yet. The first team to four wins, we are only a halfway there. So
exactly.
The focus had to be on winning that game, and we see how it all turned out.
And can we petition to have these dumb writers taken off the MVP ballot? And have it be player-based only? Is that a thing that we can petition for?
The only problem with the player thing is, too, that they can also have it agenda-driven with their friends being voted instead of voting it the right way.
I agree. My throwback. Now, this has only been gone for about 8 years, but can we please bring back NCAA football now that we have college football with the NIL money?
Yeah. Hey, we already had one that said, I think it was Coach Mike on Twitter said, college football, EA Sports.
Yep. That was the best video game that I have ever played, sports game bar none.
Which one was it again? Because Tyler always talks about it. Joe Torti talked about it too. The NCAA football, which year was it?
It was 2014 was the last one. I think it
the
had
the best
Mark
one,
Robinson
though.
The best one.
Yeah, I can't remember. I have to ask Tyler.
Me personally, I like the one. I think I like the first one where Eddie George was on the cover, and that was unbelievable.
Yeah, got you. Got you. Bring it back. Bring it back.
All right. Devon, thanks, brother. Have a good night.
Real fast, Troy, before you step away, do they win tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, they win tomorrow, and they win the game seven.
Oh.
And they win game seven.
Make sure you call back next week for that.
Yeah, personally, I'm not scared of the Heat going back to game seven. What I'm scared of is another lax performance like last night. Can't happen again.
If they do that again, then they're going to have a long off season from us, Troy. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the game. They do that? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Real quick.
Yeah.
NCAA football is coming back. Summer of 2023.
I think that's why we were talking about it one day. Because they announced that it was coming back.
Yes, because now the NIL, they want to make some money. Some more money off these kids again.
There you go, Troy.
Well. Yes.
Yeah. Right. You guys are going to make some money? Let's make some more money off
this. Yes, exactly. Yes. Yep. That's exactly how it works. All so right. You got to wait, what? One more year.
All right. There you go, Troy. You got it back. 610-632-0975. We got a lot, too. A lot of good stuff here. To get to. Process Pat McFly underscore 22. The East Bay magazines back in the day.
We're getting a ton of magazine ones, and it's true.
Now look, because the East Bays are still available. You still get them, but it's different now.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. No one's actually ordering from them, even though they might say, we'll give you $25 off your first order over $100. It doesn't have the same impact as it used to.
Now, even like as simple as like Sports Authority or Dick's Sporting Goods, when like baseball season would roll around or basketball season would roll around.
You'd be in there for like an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Trying on the gear, gripping the baseball bat, making sure it's the right one that you want.
Shooting the one hoop that doesn't have the cage over it that someone took off.
Yep. But getting the basketball out of the box, even though you're not supposed to.
Yep.
Dribbling in the store, all that.
Cool even the
stuff.
Magazine with that, you're circling stuff, because that was really the only way to find that stuff.
And you could
besides
buy
going there.
Jordans or Air Max, all that stuff, even on East Bay. You could still do that.
That's driving you crazy.
The team colors, right, for your team when you're gearing up for your season.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, come on, that stuff was the best. That stuff was the best. And then you run to the payphone and call your family, be like, yo, this is what I just got. Fantastic. Or if your parents weren't there, mom, I know you gave me the card. Can I take an extra $40 out? Because I want this one and it costs a little bit more than we gave the budget. That's how it was.
And she was never happy with that phone call.
No. Say no and you still do it anyway and you just take the heat and get home.
Take the beating later.
Right. Right. Drew in Westchester with us next on 97.5. Drew, how you doing, man?
Hey, Devon. How you been, buddy?
Oh, pretty good, man. Pretty good. Last night was a little downer, but they have an opportunity to get it back.
I don't even want to talk about last night, man. It happened, and you know, you just gotta forget about that stuff and move on to game six. But what I really want to talk about, man, which I think, you know, you've already touched on it the last few minutes with some callers and stuff, is really the travesty that was Embiid not getting the MVP. And I'll just throw out a couple things that makes me believe he should have. First, if you do head-to-head statistics, Embiid pretty much owns the freaking Doncic or whatever, who's the guy who won.
Jokic,
right. You know, so, you know, head-to-head, Embiid did better than him. And then if you just look at overall statistics for the year, I think the only thing that the other guy had over him was assists and games played by four. I mean, Embiid had more points, he had more steals, he had more blocks, he had everything. And another real telling statistic is Embiid's the first center since 1982 to win the scoring title, and that was Moses Malone in 82. So, I'm sorry, not win the scoring title, but to average over 30 points for the season since Moses Malone did it. So we're talking about 40 years has gone by since the center has averaged over 30 points a game. I mean, these are all things that I just don't understand what these voters were thinking.
The counter, of course, I'll just give you one counter of the 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and the 500 assists. No player has ever done that. They'll throw that one at you. If you talk about all those Embiid things, he did that where no other player did that. In the history of the
NBA. But like, you know, when I think of MVP, the biggest criteria I think of is if you take that player away from the team, how well will that team do? And I think, you know, if you took Embiid away from the Sixers for those 68 games he played, it probably wouldn't have been, you know, wouldn't have been very good. So, I mean, it just shows you how important he is to the team and just overall in the league.
Now, look,
I'm frustrated,
again,
man.
No, really I got you. And a lot of people are. I thought Embiid should have won it as well, but Jokic was also a worthy candidate, and he won it. And,
yeah, I know. It is what it is. I know.
Yeah, so now it's about Embiid just continuing to do what he needs to do while he's still in the playoffs and Jokic is at home enjoying that new trophy and all that, which he doesn't care about.
And the whole sour grapes thing, I don't buy that. I think if anything, he'd be more motivated.
Yeah, last night, I don't think that played a part in it.
Personally,
I don't think so.
No.
All right, you got a throwback, man?
I do. I was going to say the Nextel walkie because I had one of them, but I was also thinking, you know, back in the day, I used to love making mixtapes. Remember making mixtapes for, like, girls or friends and stuff? Like, no one ever makes mixtapes. Like, I guess they can, like, put together, like,
a playlist.
You
just simply put together a playlist and maybe you'll be able to send it. I don't know. Can you do that, Tom?
Making that physical tape, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, that used to take hours. Now,
You
just be like, all right, let me grab a couple of songs I like. Let me put this together, send it away. That took me 5 minutes.
Yeah, see, I used to take dedication. I mean, that showed you something when you made a mixtape for someone. It was special. Anyway, that's what I thought of, bro.
Oh, you got it. That's a great one. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Wish you could have the mixtapes back. You can still buy a cassette deck and start to do all this stuff.
They're
if you
in all
want.
The stores. They got dust all over them because no one touches them anymore, but they're there.
You can buy it and go for it that way.
That was the best, making mixtapes. And, you know, you would do it like every couple months because obviously new songs are coming out. Update the, you know, playlist in the car. You can do it via Spotify, at least I know, where you can, like, you know, I guess just set a playlist up and then send it to that person. But I don't know if it, you know, can actually, it doesn't have the same feel as being handed song with their name on it.
Mm-hmm. Mixtapes were good. Then you had the mix CDs. Or you could do it that way.
That was more my
error,
mix CDs.
You had the actual cassettes. Then you had to flip it over on the second side.
Oh, yeah.
The A and B side. There you go. So here is Coach Mike. He says NCAA football games from EA Sports. That's what he misses. High school sports scores in the newspaper. The way that it was such a big deal when we were younger, now it's totally different. And weekly Sports Illustrated magazines that will come in the mail. Yep. Great stuff. Also, before GameStop, Phil says, Rev Ronnie, 98, Funko Land. I vaguely remember Funko Land. Says it was a legendary experience. Also, the original Cheltenham Mall. Yeah, Cheltenham Mall, whenever I was in that area, was a big deal. It was different. Vaguely remember Funko Land? Vaguely? I remember like KB Toy Store. Outside of Toys R Us, you remember KB Toy Store?
I remember that one, KB Toys.
Actually going to the toy store to look around and get a toy and be thrilled about it.
Even like Toys R Us is done, right?
Yeah, they're done.
That's sad, man.
Yeah, Babies R Us, Toys R Us. They wiped them out like a year ago?
A couple years ago?
Yeah. Yep. Tough. Well, I mean, I don't know.
It's all Amazon. Everything's online now.
Or you just go to Walmart or Target, grab a toy. But it's different. It's different. Very different. Doug in Norristown checking in with us next tonight on The Fanatic. Doug.
Hi, Devon. Great show as always.
Thank you, Doug.
I don't know if you remember, I'm the guy in Norristown that picked before the series, Sixers over Miami.
Yes, sir. I remember.
I'm sticking with it. I know yesterday didn't help my cars.
Did not help. Did not help. But those two games that they won at home in 3 and 4, that helped your case.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. And yesterday, nothing could be said. But I have a few things, if I may, and then a throwback at the end. What about, Devon, I respect your basketball knowledge, and I really haven't heard anybody speak about this. What about having Maxey run the point more?
So,
how fast he is.
Yeah, the problem is, you'll have your good moments with him at the point guard and you'll have your tough moments because, as Doc Rivers speaks about it a lot, that's not his natural position and he never really had to do it. So you're asking him to do that in a elimination game, in the playoffs, lead these guys and still mix it up. So what they've been trying to do is give him the ball a little bit more early, Doug, on the move, set some screens for him, and then have him running off these actions where he can simply use the speed, Doug, to get a bucket. He's not going to be the assist maker. He's just going to be the scorer. And when they did get Harden and inserted him in the starting lineup with Maxey, they moved him off the ball and simply put, Doc Rivers said, he's back home. And that's off ball to let him do what he does, which is score.
Yeah, no, I understand that's certainly valid. It just seems like there's so much more up-tempo, you know, with Harden.
Yeah, and,
like,
and especially when they're picking him up full court. And so you want Maxey to be the one to bring the ball up and set things up. The speed, it's necessary. I agree with you. Faster pace, I agree.
And another thing, you know, they tried in small spurts, and even the announcers made mention of it. I didn't see it much yesterday. Why don't they go more zone?
They did it
a little bit,
not last night. I mean, actually, they did do it a little bit last night, but it didn't work because they were just shooting the basketball much better and getting whatever they wanted. They have mixed it in. It seemed to work more in games 3 and 4, and when they got back to Miami, it didn't work out so well.
Right, that's my point. When they won the 2 games, they used it more, and it seemed to work. So.
Yeah, but I guess when your energy is not really in there, you're going to miss spots where you're supposed to be. You know how it is. The ball swings to the right corner. Now the guy at the top of the key and the one shaded down to more of the baseline, they're both supposed to slide over a little bit, show a little. And when you don't have that energy and you don't play with that sense of urgency, they break down that zone very easily, like we saw.
And before I do my throwback, and thank you for your time, I heard you with Bob the other night, and great job, both of you, as always.
Thank you.
Did you say your prediction was after game 4 or 5, the winner of game 4 or 5?
Yeah,
5, did 4. You say?
He asked me the question 4. I said the Sixers would win after 4 if they won that game, and I thought that they were going to win last night, Bob. I mean, Doug, I did.
So what is your thought now in the series?
I have no idea what to think of this team, the way that they performed last. I tend to believe that they're going to win, Doug, tomorrow because they're back at home. So if you put me on the spot, they did so this morning as well, and I said that the Sixers would win the game.
I hope so. And Devon, a throwback that I really liked, and it's a great subject by you, is Sam Goody.
Go get your records and your cassettes and your DVDs and your CDs. Sam Goody.
You know I'm going old school with that.
With the albums, yeah. That's great.
And I enjoy it. And Devon, I'll be touching base, win or lose, but I'm hoping for a win tomorrow.
Same, man. And I look forward to hearing from you either Friday or next week. Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you, as always.
Enjoy the game tomorrow. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. Sam Goody, the record store. Tremendous. Sam Goody, then the neighborhood stuff like 69th Street had Sound of Upper Darby. Downtown was Sound of Music, I think it was, downtown. It wasn't Sound of Center City, I think it was just Sound of Music. But up our way, it was Sound of Upper Darby, where you go into the small spot, go to where the records are. On the wall, they had the CDs when they became popular. And, of course, you can get the cassettes. Or you could buy some headphones. you could buy a new Razer flip phone. You could buy a beeper.
Had everything.
Oh, man. One-stop shop. You knew where to go. One-stop shop. All right, Brandon, hang on. Chris in Overbrook, he knows what I'm talking about. Andrew, Northeast Philly. And then we have a few open phone lines that we have not had all show long. So if you want to jump in, 610-632-0975. We'll give some from Twitter. Again, we have a lot keep rolling in, so we'll do those. And we'll continue to talk about the Sixers. Phillies win 4-2. They take the series over the Mariners this afternoon. Next up, Los Angeles Dodgers. But they have some reinforcements with Zach Wheeler out there in Los Angeles. Good to have him back. See what he can do tomorrow. Can they win this series? I don't know. But we'll find out. We'll keep it going. Game 6 tomorrow, Sixers, Heat, 7 o'clock, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
902, 97.5 The Fanatic. Sixers game six with the Miami Heat. And this best of seven, that will be on Thursday right here on 97.5 The Fanatic following Cuz's Corner, which begins at 6 o'clock with Anthony Gargano. I'll be anchoring the pregame coverage at 6:50. Tom McGinnis on the game call at 7 o'clock live from the center on 97.5 The Fanatic. I will not be in the building tomorrow. I will be back here at the studio, so after the game we'll go in the post. So don't look for Bob and I to do the pregame show from the concourse tomorrow. I'll be back here at the studio. Anthony will have the Cuz's Corner at 6 o'clock. So hopefully we're talking about game number three in the Eastern Conference Finals, where Bob and I will be next at the center doing a radio show. Phillies win 4-2 this afternoon over the Seattle Mariners. They are 4-6 in their last 10. They are 14-17. They're tied for second with Atlanta and Miami behind the Mets in the East. Seven games back, the Mets are just no big deal. 21-10, playing some really good baseball. And the Phillies have a lot to catch up with, but they did win 4-6 in their last 10. They take the series against this team, Seattle Mariners, who are 14-18. Out there in the West. So good job by them. And they just need to find a way to get on a hot streak and catch up with the Mets, if at all possible, or separate themselves from the Braves and the Marlins and keep it moving. Dodgers next for the Phillies. How about the Angels? Finally playing well where they're at the top of the West standings right now. Can they keep it up? I don't know. But it'd be nice to see Mike Trout finally get in the playoffs with Shohei Ohtani as well. And you see some things happen with that baseball team, because he's been good for so long, and then all you do is see them and you're like, all right, yeah, he's winning the MVP, or he's now winning the MVP, but they're not in the playoffs. So good to see him get off to a good start, right?
It is, yeah. Unfortunately, it is a very long season. So most people say you would prefer to get hot later rather than earlier. But if you can stay hot, then it doesn't really matter when you got hot. Mm-hmm. Just a matter if they can keep up, their hot streak to start the season.
Yeah, didn't Rendon hit a homer lefty instead
left-handed.
Of
left-handed, yes.
What was the backstory to that?
So they were up big. I think it was like 10-0 at that point.
And he has not been hitting well.
No, ever since he got that contract and he won, World Series. I don't know if he was World Series MVP, but he was a huge part of the Nationals winning the World Series a couple years ago. Got a ton of money, hasn't lived up to that contract at all, and this season as well. But yeah, they're up, I believe it was like 10-0 or something in either the seventh or the eighth inning. They don't want to pack on more runs than they have to, so he goes up there batting left-handed as a right-handed bat. And connects and hits it out of the park.
Yeah, like out of the park.
Like going home run.
Yeah.
Like if I tried to bat left-handed, and I'm obviously not a baseball player, or, major league baseball player, and haven't played baseball in years, I don't think I would make contact, let alone hit one out of the park against an MLB pitcher.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yeah, so good stuff for them. Phillies, good stuff. Now on to the Dodgers as well. Brandon and Andrew, Chris and John, I'm coming to you right. Give me one second. I want to say this. The MVP thing, we wanted Embiid to win. I keep saying that Jokic is definitely worthy. So was Giannis. I felt Embiid was the winner. But certain things kind of get me a little bit, especially when you remain who you are as a person, no matter your success. Remain who you are. When I see Nikola Jokic go home and he's back in Serbia, he just seems like he's whatever nickname he is to them. He's the Joker to us, right? Jokic, but maybe he's just Nikola or Kola, whatever his name is to his family and friends in Serbia. Guys,
Gals, Sixer fans, basketball fans. He was receiving his award with a Nike tank top on in Serbia, whatever time it is over there. Tom, I don't know what time it is.
Don't ask me.
And he's at a horse stable receiving his award. And if you saw the actual video, the entire thing of how he got it, his family, his friends, and all this stuff, you'd be like, man, I'm mad as heck Joel didn't get it, but that's pretty cool. Tom, I sent it to you. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it starts off with him being carried by a one-man horse carriage, I guess. He's got the Nike tank top.
And he's got his helmet on.
Got the helmet on.
Right.
He's the tallest dude by
he's
at least
4 feet.
He's
too big to be in this.
He's the tallest dude in Serbia by 3 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
Looking at this video. Listen, I know we all want Embiid to win MVP. We want our player to be the best player in the sport, in the world. I still like Nikola Jokic a lot. He's a second-round pick who's turned into a now back-to-back MVP player. That's incredible.
And, folks, when you see this video, and he always talks about it, right, Tom? He doesn't really care about it as much. You know, maybe he said it in his acceptance speech, if you will, that maybe when he's older, he'll appreciate it much more. But right now, it's just cool. But it will be way more cool when he's all done. Then he starts tearing up. For somebody who doesn't care, and of course, more to it because of the family and everybody being back home. My man's got a Nike tank top on, some Nike sweat shorts, and right, just looking all, I don't care, even though he's a millionaire because he signed that max contract with the Denver Nuggets. He's just like, whatever. You know, I don't know what his house looks like over there in Serbia, but for him to still be the Nikola Jokic that they all know in Serbia, that's pretty cool to see it. And I'm looking at it right now at this moment. It's 9:09 here. It's 3:08 in Serbia. So we got a big difference. So if you take, what was it, right around 6:30 when he got the award. So now we're looking at about 12:30 his time, about 12:30. Staying up late to do his acceptance with TNT. So that's pretty awesome. I know everybody wanted him to win it. If you see the video, it was on Instagram where we saw it. The NBA and the Denver Nuggets released it. It's really cool. It just, again, at the end of the day, I'm a basketball fan. It's pretty dope. And I'm glad somebody like Rudy Gobert didn't win it. You know what I'm saying? It's
just, that dude will never sniff an MVP.
Somebody that I actually like. Somebody I like. Let's go to Brandon in Camden next up here on 97.5. What's up, Brandon?
What's going on, Devon, man? It's like a first-time call, man.
Thank you. Thanks for checking in, man.
No problem, man. I'm a diehard Sixers fan. I'm a diehard Joel Embiid fan. I'll go at anybody about him. But I'm sorry. I feel even crazy that we're having this conversation that because he didn't win an MVP, we're saying that it was emotional, it didn't play well.
And he wasn't focused, yeah.
Look, I go back to everything Embiid said, so I'll just quote what he said. I remember him specifically saying, yeah, the MVP will be okay, but I really want to win a championship. So if that's your focus and that's your goal, how can you not show up in a game where 82% of the time the game five winner goes on to win the series?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm cool with, I love Embiid to death, but I can't, I'm sorry, I can't even, as a basketball player, I can't just let that, like, that. There's nothing about me, about that would make that unmotivate you to play better. Like, that would make you want to play harder, not, like, I'm going to show everybody why I am the MVP. Why they should have gave this to me. That's supposed to motivate you. And as far as the Sixers, I don't know why people are so surprised. We're not really a great team. Mm-hmm. We play different. Every game, we're very inconsistent. You might see one game where you're like, okay, they're playing great. Harden plays great. Harden doesn't play great every game. He's not really that good anymore. He's a good playmaker, but we need a scorer. And then the problem is we don't have a leader. Like, who's going to hold Embiid accountable and say, yo, man, like, yo, come on, man. Like, that was Jimmy Butler.
Well, the last two, and honestly, because he respected him so much, the last two outside of Butler, it was Butler and Redick.
And Redick. And that's what I'm saying. Or maybe, and you look at these teams, the Celtics, Al Horford. You look at these teams that have veterans that can pick these people. We don't have anybody. We don't have anybody. Like, everybody, and as a leader, and I hate when people call people leaders, because just because you're the best player doesn't necessarily mean you're the leader. So when Embiid goes out and plays like that and you got other young guys looking at you, of course the team's not going to play great if they follow you. Just like when we play great and you're there, it's like, oh, God, Embiid came back and the Sixers blew the Heat out. So if you're not going to give your maximum effort, of course everybody else around you is not going to look as good because they're following you, even though you're really not a leader. And that's the problem with the Sixers. They need a P.J. Tucker. They need somebody fiery at a foul. Like, that loss by 30, I didn't see one hard foul. I didn't see anybody look angry, like the loss upset anybody.
Oh,
like,
I'm with you on that.
It seemed like, I don't know,
hey,
man.
Hey, Brandon, I've been calling for, I was so excited when they got Mike Scott just for that reason.
Just for that?
I was like, all right, they got somebody that's going to put somebody on the floor in the playoffs and they're going to start shoving Ben Simmons, and he's going to come over and make things okay and pick up a technical, and I'm okay with it because you need to send that message from time to time, and they do not have that on this team.
It's so soft, man. Everything they do is soft. They don't even know how to get the ball in the paint. Everybody's shooting. Like, they don't have any type of, like, I just don't get it, man. And I'm James Harden with a turn. I just feel bad for Embiid because I think that they fumbled this process so badly around him. Like, they fumbled it so bad, and I love Daryl Morey, but he jumped the gun when he made that trade. I was calling for Tyrese Halliburton and somebody else. Like, you didn't need a superstar. You just needed a collection of good players. You don't need the name. You just need good players to fit around that can mold around to Embiid's talents. You didn't need
a team.
Like, and now you're stuck. Like, if you don't sign him, you're damned, and if you do, you're damned. Like, there's no good thing going to come out of signing James Harden. There's nothing good going to come out of it.
And the thing is, he's going to be back.
He's going to be back. We're done, man.
He's going to be back. Now, you just hope that the hamstring is not a problem.
And the hamstring ain't the problem now.
I'm just saying. That's why I gave you four hopes. That's why I gave you four hopes. Man, give us a throwback, man. And again, for the people who don't know why we're talking about this, the iPod is no more. They're discontinuing it after 20 years. So we were asking people some things that were great, and now they're gone, and you wish they were still around. Just to give you one that Tom Alvord, my producer, of course, Brandon, he had Blockbuster Video, and I went with just being able to play a video game without having to download everything and just put the disc in and go to work. So give us yours, something that you wish was still around. It was convenient for you. All right. That's cool. Look, we'll run down some of the ones that we got already just so you can hear them, and then we'll go. BlackBerry, binge watching instead of streaming. And taking that away, just be able to watch the shows each week. GameStop, Sears catalogs, Dreamcast, game magazines, mixtapes, Sam Goody, NCAA football, and reading the daily news when it was 35 cents. Those types of things that we've already gotten. B, thanks, man, checking in. Really appreciate
no problem.
It. You got
no problem.
It. Those are all the things that we've gotten so far on the phones and on Twitter as well. We've had so many people check in with so many great entries for this. By the way, the stuff about the sneakers that we were talking about earlier, where I just want to be able to buy a pair of sneakers instead of what it is now with the shoe game, as it's called now. Johnny Waynes said earlier, said, great conversation, Devon. Appreciate it, Johnny. Nike is actually going to court with StockX very shortly for exactly what you are talking about. He says, I wear 14, and it seems like all of these other companies snatch them all up, and it's frustrating. Johnny, I hope they figure it out. Great work by StockX to figure out that they could be StockX and have so many things in demand. But I think we all just, you know, I don't want to play that game. I want out that game. I want out. I want to be able to just buy them at retail price and go about my day. We can all still put them in a nice box and display them at home, show them off however you want to show them off. But I just want to be able to buy them and have them like I used to be able to do that. It didn't have to be what it became. It's a really, really big thing right now. And again, I commend you all who made this a business and your livelihood. I know some people who do it directly. And still, I just like to be able to get stuff when I want it. You know what? I want to go buy a pair of New Balance that just came out, made by such and such because of the collaboration. I like them. Let me go get them. Joe Fresh Goods. He makes two great pair. I want to be able to go get them. I found them in the store. They're $130. All right, cool. I got them. Fantastic. Not have to go to StockX, and they're $500. One of my favorite pairs of sneakers that have come out in the last couple of years. A pair of Air Max. I love them. Love them. I refuse to pay what the retail, I mean, what the resale price is. They were a limited amount or a limited sale when it came out. Then it went to, again, the big thing. And it was, I just can't get them because I'm not spending that type of money. It's just, I'm not.
It's the principle about
it. It's a mortgage. It really is.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous.
I'm serious. This one pair that I like, I'll show them to you. I mean, I don't care. I'll say them out loud. Sean Witherspoon teamed up with Nike and created an Air Max. And the color scheme, the 97th. So dope. I'm not paying that price. I'm just not. Sean Witherspoon, they're dope. I love them.
Yeah, you got to send them over so I can check them out.
I'm just not paying that price. Just not.
I don't blame you.
I'm not. I refuse. Let's go back to the phones. We go to Andrew in Northeast Philly with us tonight here. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's up, Devon, man? First time, long time.
How you been?
Hey, good, man. How about you? So, real quick, I'm 26 years old. I was at the last game at the Spectrum when we played the Bulls versus Derrick Rose.
I was there.
When he was a rookie.
Yeah.
And I remember driving home from that game listening to you. And ever since then, Drew, I love your analysis.
Thank you, man. So, I appreciate that.
No doubt, no doubt. So with the Sixers, I'm just like, compared to everyone else that has called in, I'm exhausted. I feel like we're in Groundhog Day with this team.
Uh-oh.
Like every, like the last 4 years, it's always the same thing every year. I canceled my season tickets after 6 years. It's frustrating.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I just, it really feels like it's the same thing every year, and I just don't understand it. Do they not have a winning... Do they not have winning in their blood? Or, like, I really don't understand it.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. It really is because they've grabbed this and they've been really good these last five seasons, but they can't get out of the second round. They've been frustrating. The turnover and the roster has been, again, frustrating. You've seen so many good players come in and out. They leave here. They go have the success that they have. And here we are, just... competing in the regular season, getting the 50-plus wins, doing a really good job, and then just hitting that skid in the second round. And it's tough because you're into it so much. It's frustrating.
Yeah, what would you attribute that to? Like coaching, talent, bench?
I think they missed on a lot of players, just period. They had a lot of good ones here that fit, and then you missed on so much.
What,
like the Jimmy Butler thing. Where you have Butler and Redick here, they both leave in the same offseason. You trade for Butler and Harris in the same season, and Butler is the one that I think most of us believe should have been your choice, but instead he decides to leave because of the Brown and Simmons aspect of it, and here he is again. While Miami is Miami, we're only focused on really what he would do here. He's still playing well there, multiple-time All-Star still. It's just a matter of how he would have fit here and what he would have been able to do here. And why wouldn't he and Simmons be able to play? Ego aside, we're trying to win a championship, so you put some of those things aside. All those great awards and the recognition will come with the wins, right? So
Right. Why
are those things? So and just a number of players that have moved on. Or if you talk about moving on from Brett Brown, Monty Williams and Emi Udoka are doing fantastic jobs with Phoenix and Boston. And were they the right choices to be here? And the general manager turnover where things went badly with some of the draft picks like the Markelle Fultz thing didn't work out. Some of the later picks where you take Korkmaz and Timothée Luwawu-Cabarrot and you miss out on some of the other players there. So I don't know, man.
Mourinho, real quick, with the bench, do you think they completely recuperate the bench? Like Well, that is a big focus.
Drew,
it's
a big focus this offseason. The Harden part is number one. Then you have to figure out between Harris and the Thibault starting role what they have to do there. And other than that, it's about the depth and the bench putting it together this offseason. No doubt. I love Tobias, but would you consider moving him to make depth in the bench?
No, I need a starter back for him, but I'm okay getting an extra player back.
Right.
Yeah, so if there are two lesser players in terms of he's a borderline all-star, but you get two that just fit your team the right way, I would be okay about it. It depends on who it is.
And I feel bad for Tobias because he kind of is balling out, but he's
balling out right now. Yeah, it makes it easier to keep him. However, you know, is it going to go away next season? So is it going to go back to what we saw where he would drive me crazy, drive you crazy, all of that? So.
No doubt.
Yeah. Do you have a throwback for us, Drew?
Yeah, my throwback. So you guys are talking about the Razor. Like, I'm 26, so like the early 2000s was when I had the early cell phones. I don't know if you remember making ringtones, like MTV, like music videos. I used to have my phone up to the TV making ringtones.
Just recording it live from the television.
It didn't sound good at all, but that was my ringtone. You don't have ringtones at all anymore.
That's really good, man. I appreciate it, Drew. Thanks for the kind words, man, and thanks for checking in, man. Appreciate it, Devon.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Got it, man. Making ringtones. Used to do that? I refused to do that.
Oh, I always would do it.
I did.
What do you mean you refused to do it?
I was like, I'm not doing that.
You just had the regular old?
Yep.
That's a bad job by you.
Yep. That's how I am. Just simple stuff.
I would record full songs on my phone. Like, we only had so much data on those old phones. I would use 90% of it to get, like, three songs that I would listen to. A little different, but I just had to.
I know a lot of people did.
Needed music. And I would get, like, because you had to record them off the computer.
Yeah.
And I'd be yelling at my little brother or my buddy, like, can you shut up so I can get this good part of the song and I'll hear you laughing in the back. Miss those days, man.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Andrew. Great stuff. Chris, you start us off, man. And then John, Mike, and Gabe, you close it down at 9:45. We get the leftovers with Tom Alvor. We come right back. We get to you guys. Closing thing down on this Wednesday night. Sixers Heat, game 6, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Devon Gibbons. 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, final segment. 97.5 The Fanatic, 9:32. On this Wednesday night, I'll be back with you tomorrow after Cuz's Corner for our 10-minute pregame show leading into Sixers Heat, game number 6. Tom McGinnis on the game call, all heard right here on the home of Sixers basketball, Sixers Radio Network. 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's get to all the phone calls. Let's run through them all. We have leftovers with Tom at 9:45. We have some tweets still that I would like to share on the air before we step away. So let's get things going in Overbrook with Chris. Always great to hear from Chris. What's going on?
Devon, how you doing, brother?
Good, man.
Everything's good. You know, I really, man, it's like, I don't know really why we had to trade for James Harden in the first place. Because we had Tyrese Maxey, and it seems like to me like Tyrese Maxey was playing way better when he had the ball in his hand.
So it wasn't that you didn't want to make the trade in general, you just didn't want to make the trade for Harden.
It takes away from Tyrese Maxey. Like he's left in the court. He's a better player with the ball in his hand. He's a better. I'd rather have the ball in Tyrese Maxey's hands and have Harden not even there and have Harden running the point and like he was in the whole season. Like, people, what, you forget about the whole season and what he was doing the entire season with the ball in his hand?
How did you feel in game 4 when he finally showed us something in the regard of being the scorer with the 31?
I understand. I do understand. But he's a dynamic player. He can do stuff like that. But he's more lethal. My point is, he's more lethal with the ball in his hand. He's more of a lethal player. He's better with the, you know what I mean? He's more free. He can freestyle a little bit more. And if he wants to take his own shot, he can take his own shot.
He can. I wonder how much of that is different, though, if James Harden is not on the floor. I mean, we saw it with Seth Curry, where Seth Curry was his backcourt mate. And while he was really good for the Sixers, he was heavily reliant on others to do the scoring or set him up a little bit. He could set up a little bit for himself, do his thing. And I don't mean to talk down to him. I know he just had his surgery and all that stuff. I'm just saying that Maxey, as he has said it, and as Doc Rivers has said it, he's still growing as a young point guard in this league. That's not his traditional position, something that he's still learning. So when we talk about a championship contender, I don't know if you want the ball in his hands as the primary. As the secondary, sure. As the primary, like Harden is, I don't think so.
I give it to him. Rajon Rondo won the championship.
Yeah, but he was a point guard all the way.
Yeah, he was. You're right. He was a point guard, but still, I don't know if this is true or not. They said that they wanted to trade Ben Simmons straight up for C.J. McCollum. They were going to trade Ben Simmons just straight up for C.J. McCollum and Robert Covington.
Well, no, I know, man, and that was one that I said at the time that I would make.
Why wouldn't you do it? That means you would have kept, you would have had Andre Drummond. Who's 20.
No, I would have done it, but yeah. Daryl Morey had his sights set on something way bigger than what C.J. McCollum was at the time. Hey, Chris, do you have a throwback for us, man, that you want to share?
Yeah. You know where the Acme is, right? On City Line in the Bell Kenwood Shopping Center?
Yeah, we're right across the street from it, yep.
You remember back in the day they had that sneaker store that was there?
I talked about it the other, 2 weeks ago, but I couldn't remember the name, Chris.
I can't remember the name, but they had the track around the...
Yes! Yes, and I used to go in there and get everything. And when they closed the store, Chris, I bought a bunch of stuff. NBA stuff, college stuff. It was all this authentic NBA gear in there. Oh, man.
Oh, I'll tell you.
You remember that place, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name, though. I know. Hey, man, good stuff, Chris. Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. I was racking my brain trying to remember that store's name. Had to track and everything. It was a big store.
Somebody's got to know that's listening.
Someone will remember it, but I just do not remember. I tried to Google it, a store that used to be there before Acme, all that
you
stuff.
You don't have an old receipt lying around somewhere or anything?
I keep receipts, too, but I don't even know it. Yeah, I don't know, man. John in Jersey next. What's up, John?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. So I kind of just wanted to make a quick point. A lot of the analysts, when we were down 0-2 after those first two games in Miami, a lot of people saying, like, oh, I don't see the Sixers winning this because I can't see them winning 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it from that perspective, I really thought the most practical way for us to win 4 out of 5 was to grab 2, maybe drop 1, and then grab the other 2. I didn't think we were going to win 4 straight or even 3 straight. I don't know. What do you think?
I thought they could win 2 at home. Depending on how it went in those 2, could they take 3 straight? I thought after they won game 4 and the way they did it, that they would win, John, last night.
Right.
They disappointed me with the effort that they showed last night.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still confident about it, though. I really think that they're going to go and win a game 7. I know it's a tough one on the road. But the thing that I thought really, two things really stink about these playoffs is what you were saying about the players that we, you know, missed out on through the process. Like, you think about it, we missed out on the Jason Tatum or even Jimmy Butler. I mean, how good would Jimmy Butler been with Embiid?
No, listen, I hear you, man. I totally understand. I totally get it, man. I thought they would win. They came out. I cannot explain the lackluster effort that they came on that floor with last night, man.
And then the last thing I wanted to say was the thing that sucks about this MVP thing, man, is that he's going to try to win it again in the future, and I think that inhibits their ability to load manage him. And I think he really needs it for a playoff run. I think he needs that load management during the regular season. I don't think he's going to be able to do that if he's pursuing an MVP trophy.
Yeah, nah, I got you, man. Listen, John, do you have a sneaky late one for us here with the throwback?
Yeah, since you guys were talking shoes, I'm going Heelys.
Heelys. I see stuff like that every now and again still. So I wonder if you could still find those, John. They might be out there for you.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll give it a look.
All right. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Take care. Enjoy the game. Right. Enjoy the game. Really appreciate it. By the way, folks, before we get to Mike and Gabe and close this out and get to the leftovers, read the tweets. Man, we just watched. This is why you have dogs. Jrue Holiday, one of the quietest, most mild-mannered dudes out there, but he is tough. He won the game on the last two defensive possessions with the defense. Stripping, blocking Marcus Smart as he goes baseline, and he was the help defense, getting off his man to block the shot and save it and throw it off of Marcus Smart on his offensive end. Comes back when they inbound the ball, make the two free throws, Pat Connaughton. He rips Marcus Smart at half court. And he was so gangsta about it, he didn't even shoot the ball. He just dribbled the timeout. Look at this. All ball. He almost got his hand. All ball. All ball. That was great. Great finish.
There's been a ton of talk about his efficiency and how poorly he's been shooting. When you can make plays like that, that just won them that game, that's what he's there for.
That's what he's there for.
That was incredible.
That's what he's there for. I remember before he was traded, and we were talking about the Harden stuff at the time too, and I said, would you prefer to have a trio of Holiday? Because it became clear that he was available, but I think that's when the trade happened. Holiday, Simmons, and Embiid, or having to give up Simmons to get Harden. Harden and Embiid 2 years ago, Harden with Embiid, which one would you prefer? And I said, I would prefer to keep Simmons with Holiday and Embiid. You get that secondary ball handler, another monster defender on the perimeter with Simmons. And Thibault was a young player with a defensive reputation already. I was sitting there like, that's the one that I would have done. You see what he did in the NBA Finals with Chris Middleton, with Giannis a year ago. And in a big spot right now to take on the road to take a 3-2 lead. He hit a big three when they were down six to tie it up. This is what you talk about when you put the right pieces around your players. They are dogs. They are dogs.
All without Chris Middleton.
Without Chris Middleton.
3-2 against Boston.
Bobby Portis with a big offensive rebound put back to give them a one-point lead. Crazy. Crazy stuff. That's why they're the Milwaukee Bucks. Now they're up 3-2. Great series. Mike in Morristown next. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how are you, Devon? First-time caller.
Thank you, man.
1,000% what you said about Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis, the whole thing.
Did you see how that just played out?
Yes.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Listen, I'm a Luka Doncic fan, but he complains to the refs, the whole thing.
He knows it, because he even said he had to check himself a little bit and dial it back.
I appreciate that. Jason Kidd called that timeout after the technical foul, but the whole thing, but who cares? Joel should be the MVP, but coming out in game five like that, talking about the MVP post game, the whole thing bothered me a little bit because I root for the Sixers. I really do.
Yeah.
The thing that bothers me the most is that how do you lay an egg? Like Giannis, that was my whole thing. Giannis scored, what, 39, 41 tonight?
Yeah, 40.
Even though Jrue Holiday had the great steals, throwback off of. Like, how do you not
do that?
Play?
How do you not do that? Yeah.
That's the part that, like, I love JoJo. I really do. I think he's got great touch. He's better shooter. But Giannis just keeps getting, better. But he's not afraid to keep doing it.
He's not afraid to fail.
I love touch. I love everything he can get on the post. And I think he could dominate Giannis, but like last night, I know he got hit in the face. I know that. But like, dude, you got to go on the block and you got to dominate. You got to do what you got to do.
No, I agree. There was no excuse to come out the way that he did last night at all. Zero.
Last thing, but the other players. I know the whole thing about Harden, if he's cooked or not, but like the other players, like step up. What do you think?
Who
got to, right? You got to ride or die for your team.
You have to. You again, Bobby Portis making a play tonight. Pat Connaughton hitting two free throws down the stretch.
Bingo.
Bobby Portis doing that. Jrue Holiday doing his part. I'm sure I wasn't watching the game. We saw this because of the commercial break. I'm sure others, obviously, to put up the point total that they did some things. You need the same, Mike, with the Sixers team.
Do you think that they have a chance to win the next two games?
I think they have a chance to win tomorrow. I don't know about game seven, but it's a 50-50. So I guess by theory, you know, by logic of the whole thing, they can win game seven. It's just they haven't performed well in Miami. But tomorrow, yes.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, wait, do you want a throwback?
Yeah, give me a throwback. Give me one.
Stan Smith shoes, Adidas.
Ah, look at that. Then luckily, they're still out.
Yeah. My daughter wears them.
Yeah, they're still great.
To wear them.
They're still great. I see them around.
Is that going to win anything, yes or no?
Huh?
Is that going to win anything?
Oh, no, no. We weren't giving away anything. We were just doing
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. But you would. You know what? You win a pair of Stan Smiths. Let me know where you go. All right. You got it, man.
Thank you, Devon.
Thank you, Mike.
Night.
You too, man. How about Breeze 0801? Discovery Zone was his ish. Discovery Zone.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, it's like a kid place where you go and just have a good time. Go have a nice
time.
Sounds
pretty sweet.
Yeah.
As a kid, yeah.
Wow, look at that, Stan Smith. I have a pair of Rod Lavers. Those are my favorite Adidas, Rod Lavers. Gabe on the cell, and then we get to the leftovers. What's up, Gabe?
What's going on, Devon? Good to talk to you again, brother.
You too, man.
I know, I haven't forgotten yet. I still owe you a picture of my collection of shoes. I will get that.
Hey, man, we have plenty of time. And I think we'll do this again. Yeah, I think we'll do it again on Friday.
But I'm with you on the Waterspoons. They're amazing shoes. They're an arm and a leg right now. I mean, you can probably get them decently cheap used somewhere. I mean, if you're
I'm not doing that.
Time for that. But brand new, I don't think they're coming down anytime soon, unfortunately. Man. It's unfortunate.
I know.
So regarding the Sixers, there was a point that was made, I think, on the midday show, which I'm sure it's been echoed many times during the day, but it's kind of just one of those things where if you see, I realize that Embiid probably didn't handle it the best way in terms of just his body language and how mopey he was, but I get it. You know, the guy's broken, basically, like, and like, he's got so many things going on, but in terms of just being a, I hate saying this, being a better leader to just make sure that, you know, you're not as, the body language doesn't show as much and, you know, your team can, you know, positively affect your team. However, on the flip side, I do think that the team needs to do a better job rallying around him because if they say, you know, our lead player, our star MVP who, you know, came back single-handedly and tied the series is kind of hurting right now. I think just like we saw with this Bucks team, like the rest of the team needs to basically show up and huddle around and your star player to be able to, basically, you know, make up for what he's not doing. That's the whole point of being a team, right? I mean, you can't just solely rely on one player, which is what I feel like they kind of did. And he followed Embiid's energy, and unfortunately, it did not work out for them at all.
Yeah, nah, I know, man. I know. Gabe, if you have one, man, can you give us a throwback since we're up against some time
Sounds
here?
Good. My one was going to be Toys R Us. I know that they went out of business. Apparently, there's rumor that there's a couple still out there, but that was the go-to place back in the day as a kid.
So I have a tweet here from Dargan Franks that says, Toys R Us is sort of back. They're an online store right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same.
Not the same.
The brick-and-mortar store was where it was at.
Not the same, man. Hey, no. Gabe, always great to hear from you, man.
Sounds good.
And we'll catch up with the sneakers again, and hopefully the Sixers give us something more to talk about positively, man. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Talk to you.
You got it, man. Appreciate it. It's 9:48. We're a couple of minutes late. There are the screeching tires. What we got?
Yes. So, obviously, we mentioned it a little bit earlier today. We had a busy day, a busy 24 hours in the game of baseball. Christian Yelich today hit for the cycle in today's 14-11 loss to the Cincinnati Reds. This was Yelich's third cycle of his career. That is tied for first all-time. He is tied up with six people. All three of his cycles also came against the Reds, which is pretty crazy. Yes.
Wow.
Not sure how that happens. That is not the only baseball news in the past 24 hours, though. Reed Detmers of the Los Angeles Angels threw a no-hitter in last night's Angels win. It is the 12th in Angels history. It was a no-hitter in his 11th career start, which is pretty remarkable. And then, of course, Anthony Rendon hits the home run left-handed. And the best part is Joe Maddon listed him as a switch hitter today in their game, which is pretty awesome. What of those three is the most impressive feats to bond?
Yelich included?
Yes, correct.
I would probably go there.
Yelich's?
I mean,
three cycles. Tied for first of all time.
That's pretty amazing, considering how long baseball has been played, to be able to hit the cycle the way that, you know, you just laid it out there. That's pretty impressive.
All against the same team, which there is no way.
Yeah, you're going to mix it up against the Mariners and the Mets.
The Pirates,
and
whatever.
The Phillies, the Pirates, whatever. But to do that against the same squad.
He's like, all right, I'm ready for a cycle of that.
Oh, you guys again? I know I'm getting a few baggers tonight.
I think the left-handed homer is incredible. Now, I know these dudes
are
unreal athletes and strong dudes.
And they've probably done it before, practicing.
This is BP. This is an actual game where incredible. So we are going to go over to the world of the NFL, and we are going to go over to Washington. Sam Howell, rookie quarterback, yes, of the Commanders. He has a bit of an odd eating habit. He only eats chicken. Meat he eats. Says he has never tried a burger or steak before. He orders chicken tenders at steakhouses, which is an absolute violation. He brings chicken tenders to team dinners when they go out to nice places. So my question is, do you release them or do you try and look for a trade partner? I don't care that you just picked them. Are you kidding me?
Put them back in the draft pool.
You're sending back to North Carolina,
UNC? Put them back in the draft pool.
Go back for another year.
Because that makes zero sense by him.
What is wrong with him?
Look, I love chicken. We've had the chicken conversation of the wings or the boneless. Are they boneless wings and all kinds of stuff? You cannot go. Look, sometimes you just want what you want. I get it. But you cannot go to a steakhouse and bring chicken tenders or fingers. You can't do that.
No.
Try a steak.
Just try. You've never tried a burger? Burgers and steaks are delicious.
What's the matter with you?
Man, if he was my kid, he would never allow to have chicken again, and we would never eat chicken, and I would force him to eat something else. That is insane. And the last one for us, we were up against it, obviously. Judd Apatow, obviously great comedic director, says he wants Superbad 2 to be made. However, the stars, of course, Michael Cera and Seth Rogen, and Jonah Hill, you can throw in there as well, do not want it made.
No.
Should it be made, Devon?
No.
It should not.
Some classics need to remain classics. That's it. You don't need anything else. Leave it alone. You might do a good job, but look how many years later it is now. Leave it alone.
Agreed.
That was untouchable. You can't do anything else about it. Leave it alone. And they're older now.
Yeah, they're like 35 years old playing high school kids. Yeah.
You should have done it right away, or you should have done Seth Rogen and Bill Hader as a spinoff with the cops.
That would have been a great movie. And those are tonight's leftovers.
Thank you, man. Thanks to everybody. We really appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow at the Anthony Gargano Cousins Corner. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.